Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. I am happy to be here. It is, it's Tuesday morning. And we're going to rock and roll today until 5 AM. I just want to say I have some great people coming on. We've got Collaboraction, which is a theater company. They are doing a project called Peace Book, which is trying to bring peace to the neighborhoods in Chicago that are most vulnerable to gun violence. Anthony Mosley is coming on with a crew, and we'll be talking to them. Also, three women that work at the Factory Theater in Rogers Park, Robin Coffin, Sarah Savini, and Corey Pasco will be here talking about the Factory Theater. If you don't know, the Factory Theater is an amazing place with amazing art that's happening right off the Howard L. stop. And we're going to talk. Patty talked a little bit about it with the crew, but someone told me the most amazing breakup revenge story today that I have ever heard. And so I'm going to ask you guys to call in a second. But I just want to say hi to the crew. Esmeralda, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am doing all right.
You guys sound great up there. Vic?
Oh, thank you.
Vic Vaughn?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Good morning. It's good morning. You know, I used to say, I used to go into school and college and say, good morning. And the guy would go, Bosworth, let's not jump to conclusions.
Exactly.
So there we go. So last night, I just want to apologize. Or yesterday morning, I was like playing a game with Vic. Vic has to write the news. Like that's, you know, I was trying to get him to play a game. And he's like, yeah, Jen, I actually have a job. And
we met in the hallway tonight.
Yeah.
I still beat him.
You did. Esmeralda, you really did. So, Vic, forgive me. I was not trying to delay you on your duties. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, we'll talk to you later. But Esmeralda, I just want to say something. I got a lot of texts about your knowledge of Olympic sports.
Oh, boy.
I got a lot of texts about us in general saying, you guys need a show together. I really liked the vibe. And I was like, you know what? You better talk to management. I can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Right?
No?
CC Todd Manley.
CC, everyone in this building. Like that. So we're gonna have some fun. Now, I want people to call in. Here's the deal. I want people to call in with their breakup stories and revenge breakup stories. But this is what I'm going to ask. And I know it's hard to put an ask when it's hard to qualify. But please don't tell me any stories that I should call the police about, because I feel like I have a responsibility on air. If you tell me something real crazy, I'm going to have to take legal action. So don't do that. But I definitely want to hear all the hilarious breakup stories, because I heard a story today that was just phenomenal. Esmeralda, would you like to hear my story?
Of course.
Okay. This is a story it sounds so suspect, but this is a friend in Manhattan, and it's her best friend. You following along here? Okay, so a friend's friend. All right, this is Manhattan, where, as we know, real estate is bajillions of dollars, right? Okay, so I was talking to my friend, and I'm like, you know, I was reading this article that summer is actually the biggest breakup period. People think, because what they're trying to do is get their breakups in before the holidays start. So people are like, look, I don't want to deal with Christmas. I don't want to deal with Hanukkah. I don't want to deal with Valentine's Day. So we're going to break up at the end of the summer. Like that's, you know, cool for the summer, whatever that song is. I'm too old to even know what that is, but I'm cool for the summer. I don't know, whatever that is. Who sings that song? Do you know, Esmeralda?
I'm going to say you.
Okay.
I have no clue.
We were cool for the... I think it's Taylor Swift. Cool for the summer. I mean, I have the worst voice, so let's not go there. But the point is, everybody breaks up in the summer, apparently. Now, I never dated because I was a big nerd, so I never really broke up with anybody. I just didn't. So if you've got breakup stories, please call at 312-981-7200. I'm going to tell you the best breakup. I'm like now building it up and people are going to be like, that's not good. But here's the deal. Manhattan, prime real estate. You know, apartments. I think this condo was like a $3.5 million condo, right? Okay. I know. It's to me, it's like, you know, that is like a fairy tale. I have no idea what that would be like. But so this couple owns this condo together and on the upper something side where everything is ritzy. Okay. She finds out that her boyfriend is cheating on her. That's a bummer. Okay. But that happens, right, Esmeralda? That stuff happens.
Of course.
This is real life. Yeah. You know, this is not pretend. So she finds out and she's like, you know, okay. And he leaves her. He leaves the partner, the girlfriend. He's like, you know, I'm really in love. And proceeds to, they bought the condo together, proceeds to try and steal the condo from her, her half. He's real shady. He does real weird stuff. They go to court. He wins. So he gets the condo and his new girlfriend is moving in. But there's a period where she gets to get her stuff out, right, Esmeralda? So This is what she did. And let me tell you something. This is pure genius. She took an eyedropper, okay? Just your standard, you know, iodine. I don't know what that is, where they used to put mercurochrome on your cuts. I don't know. Anyway, she took an eyedropper. She took a huge mixing bowl. She put in 3 dozen eggs, okay? She cracked open eggs, and she had this egg mixture. She took the eyedropper and put the egg mixture, the yolks and all the stuff, into the eyedropper. She then proceeded, in the hardwood floors, ladies and gentlemen, squeezing egg in each crack, okay? It took her like 12 hours, and it was, you know, a pretty big loft, and she went in the cracks of each floorboard, all right? So what do you think happens when eggs sit there for a while, Esmeralda? What do you think?
It's going to be real stinky.
Yes. So it started to smell like eggs. It started to smell rotten, and they couldn't figure out. The guy comes home. She gets all her stuff out. The guy comes home with his new girlfriend. Oh, we have this new life, and forget her, the old broad. We got a new life, and it starts to stink, and they can't figure out where it's coming from. Nobody can figure it out. So guess what? So it got so bad, they had to tear up the floors, and he ended up selling the condo at a loss because it was so rotten. From the floorboards were just rotten. How about that? And so she got him back. I think that's genius. Does anyone else?
I mean, I like it.
I like it because you know why? It takes fortitude. Time. She was patient. I think these stories are. I mean, I and also she was. It wasn't violent. She didn't do anything crazy. She was very smart about the whole thing. So if you have a breakup story, something like that, or a revenge story, please. My friend told me this. I'm like, you are lying to me. This cannot be. And she's like, I swear this happened, and it was this huge court case, and you know, she promised her to secrecy, and of course I'm telling the whole world. Anyway,
wait, court case?
Yeah. Okay, so there was two court cases. So the first court case was he wouldn't give her half the condo. He made all these. Okay, so that's the first court case. The second court case is he did suspect that she had done something, but they couldn't prove it. So nothing happened, but he was like, she, you know, they were asking him like, okay, she did what? They're like, she vandalized. And they're like, well, how did she vandalize? They're like, she just put a smell in the apartment.
And she put some bad juju in there.
Yep. She's just really, you know, made it funky in our house. I mean, that's, you know, that's not against the law to make something funky. So if you've got a story, it's 312-981-7200. I want to hear what you have to say about breakup. So were you guys with Patty? You were talking a little bit. Were you talking about breaking up over text or something?
We were talking. It was more about friendship.
Oh.
And friends. But I threw in the because it was about when you read the, because it says like seen at whatever time. And if someone doesn't answer, you're just like, I freak out a little bit. Like every other week, I'm like, oh my God, I think my boyfriend hates me right now.
Yes, I have that too. I have it with, because you know what? Everyone does these days business on these Facebook messengers. So like booking gigs and responding to, like, you know, when people ask me to perform somewhere or there's submissions for something like that, and I'll send it and it'll say seen, and they no answer. And I feel like the biggest loser for a long time.
Exactly. And especially if it's a question, you're like, please answer my question.
Yeah. It's basically like you're saying, do you like me? And then
Pretty much, with
a question mark, and they don't answer. I don't like that. What I also don't like is, you know, you guys were talking about, and yeah, there's all these ways to get around that. So people just don't, like, how do you not put a scene? You just don't click on it?
There are ways that you can, there's a settings under Facebook that you can fix to do that.
See, because my my agent and a casting director say they do that all the time, so that people aren't like get angry and say, I know you saw it, and you just didn't respond. So that's that. But I'm interested in breakup stories. I have a few of my my own breakup stories, but I don't. I'll share them. They're not quite as good as the egg dropper situation, but they're pretty good. And we'll talk. Also, I want to talk about things to do, because people are pretty bummed that summer's coming to an end. It's so weird that it's already August. I don't know what that's about. Esmeralda, does it feel like summer's coming to an end? Or are you still in the midst of, like, I am doing summer?
No, I don't think it's coming to an end yet.
Okay, good.
But I kind of want it to.
You know, I'm not
like fall.
Yeah, me too. I was born in the fall. When were you? When were you?
April.
Born? Okay, that's my spring. Sister. You're a Taurus.
No.
Oh,
I'm Aries.
You're an Aries. I like Aries. Smarty. Aries are smarty pants.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very smarty. So people were saying, oh, why don't you talk about? Can you? A friend texted me. Can you look up and see, like, fun things to do? I'm feeling people feel like all this pressure to do things before. That's part of the bummer of summer, right? You feel all this pressure, like, I gotta get out there and really go sailing. And as we know from yesterday morning, you're not a big sailor, you know what I mean?
Oh no.
I'm not a big sailor. The other thing was, I think we're gonna talk about we might talk about shark attacks.
All right.
Because I just really had they've been up. And I thought of you in the water. You know what I mean? I watched recently Shark Week while I was on a cruise. That was my niece and I went on a cruise, and we're watching Shark Week. And then we went swimming, and the cruise docked. And sharks are, they're beautiful creatures. And these people that get into cages with sharks, I feel like they should be eaten. Don't you think?
It's they're in the cage. The shark is on the outside.
Yeah.
FYI.
Right.
Sounds like you're saying.
Oh, it sounds like I'm saying they go in a cage with a shark. Now,
and
that's
they fight
just,
them.
You know, that's really. Yeah. They fight them with a spear. And, like, it's just like a gladiator. It's like a shark spear gladiator match. No. This is where those people go into cages with bars usually. Right. And they get lowered into the depths of the ocean. And they usually have cameras on their heads or whatever, and they're trying to get pictures. What are they trying to do exactly, do you think? Just, like, bait the shark into coming close to them?
Right. They, you know, they want to be like, I was swimming with a shark.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's one of those things. I don't want to swim with a shark.
What's also, you're asking, it's the same kind of thing I feel like with roller coasters and stuff. Are you a roller coaster nut?
No.
Okay. Me neither. And here's my whole thing about that is, my whole thing about that is, sharks, same thing, sharks with roller coasters, you're just tempting fate. You're saying basically to me, I don't want to live or something like that. Like I don't need to do that. I mean, I went to Six Flags and it's just kind of a scary, scary, scary thing. Why don't you like roller coasters, Esmeralda?
Same thing. Cause he keeps seeing all those news stories where someone's upside down for 7 hours. No, thank you.
No, thank you. And also, the kids that run them are 13 years old, and they have a key to my life, and they're just waiting there to press a button where I will perish. And that to me is not the smartest move. But people love roller coasters. I mean, my brother-in-law, he went on that Velociter, I don't know, it goes backwards at 730 miles and then you go forward, and it's just not my thing. It's not my my jam. And they, yeah. Anyway, so we're going to talk about things to do before summer ends. We're going to talk about more breakups, breakups from hell, it's called. I'll share my own breakup story like that. You can call in if you want to talk about really anything. If you want to talk about sharks, if you want to talk about breakups, we're at 312-981-7200. Really, I'm just here for you and want you to call in and say hey to Jen B, who's filling in for Nick DiGilio here. He'll be back tomorrow morning, I believe. Esmeralda, was he at the Flashback convention?
He was, yes.
And I think tonight, is he showing a movie at the Music Box? Or last night, did he show a movie at the Music Box?
Yes, last night he showed Bad News Bears and at the Music Box. And then tonight, he's showing RoboCop.
Yes, I'm going to try if I can get... I'm a big... Have you ever been to the film club?
I have. I got to go when he did Scarface on Saturday.
That was a special one. A special Scarface. A special movie club. All right. So this is Jen B. I'm here filling in for Nick D on WGN, 720 a.m. We will take a break and we will be back. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here until 5 a.m. on WGN, 720 a.m. I'm on the seventh floor in Nick D's studio. I know it's not officially just his studio, but that's what I call it. That's what I call it. I had I just got a text, Esmeralda, on my text about you. How not about you, but asking about you, not saying mean things a la the Leslie Jones situation. This is nice things. They said, Esmeralda is so lovely. How did she get into radio?
Oh, well, I used to work with the Jonathan Brandmeier show.
You did?
Yeah, I was an assistant producer on his show and he was at The Loop.
Really?
And before that, I went to DePaul where I did, they have a radio station there. So I started there. Got an internship at the Loop in Q101, and then I got an internship with Johnny B, and then Johnny B gave me a proper job, and then his show ended.
Yeah. So were you producing for them both?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I was producing for just the morning show.
Right.
And then that ended, and then I kind of floated around for a while, and then I found I didn't know that they needed traffic people, that was a thing.
I mean, how did you learn about that?
I found it. I just found it in the listings. There's a radio job listings website, essentially, called All Access. And it talks about other things, different radio stations throughout the country. So you can find jobs there.
I mean, that's really good for people to know.
Right?
What is it? Because people, you just applied.
AllAccess.com. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to see what's available radio-wise, All Access. Radio or
everywhere.
Just allaccess.com?
Yes, allaccess.com. Yeah.
All access. So
I just applied and got a job.
You got a job here. Now, how did you know how to do traffic? Do you learn on the job? Is it kind of like an on-the-job situation?
I learned when I was there. I knew nothing about traffic before I started working for traffic. But I got all the people there that were managers and bosses. They taught me. They had big old booklets. Full of maps and all the lingo and all this and that. And you just, yeah, you start to learn it.
Esmeralda, this is quite something. So yeah. when was it that you first stepped into traffic?
Like 2013.
So it's not that long ago.
No, not long ago at all.
You just saw a listing for they need traffic people and you were like, I can get on.
I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Cause I was applying to a million places just trying to, I was applying for mainly radio.
Yeah.
Like DJ, yeah. Music. Jobs and
yeah.
nothing at all was hitting and then finally I got a call from traffic. I was like, oh my gosh, okay,
that's wonderful. When you're, I mean, I know that feeling of sending out like 7 million resumes and you're like, and it's like crickets and you're like,
exactly,
do I even matter, am I even, and then you're like,
yeah.
Yes, I do, when someone calls. So you do traffic. Do you what's the hardest part about, I got a follow-up text, what's the hardest part? I know you're a star.
Oh, gosh.
What's the hardest part about traffic?
Probably when things are breaking.
Oh.
When it's breaking news, just because you have to keep watching whatever's going on when, you know, all lanes are down and then, oh no, it's this and this and
right,
that.
And it keeps changing.
Right. And sometimes the sources you have aren't the best at giving information, so then it's like, oh, they just told me this, but it's really this, and it's like, oh,
it's on the fly. I mean, it's really fast.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's very fast. That's the thing about radio, is that I love it, and I've learned so much. And it's you know, people think, oh, you just talk or you just read the traffic. Oh no, there's stuff involved that I think people, you know, like any job, any career, there's hard stuff about it. And I remember my first or my second time on air, there was a malfunction, and I mean, like my second time ever, I was like, and we had a little bit of dead air, and I thought I would faint. I really thought I'm going to faint, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But you get through it, right? And you just you keep on trucking. You have, and WGN is really good in that. I feel like the producers and everyone in news and traffic really sort of take care of each other, and there's never. But it is scary, like any job. You know, when you start any job, it can be kind of scary. Oh, one more text. Look at this, Esmeralda. You are Esmeralda Leon.
Oh,
is the
goodness.
Star tonight. Okay, the text is, oh, what would you, oh, how long have you been? So 2013 is when you started.
So yeah, I started doing traffic, and then my big girl job started in 2005.
Okay.
That's when I started working with Jonathan Brandmeier.
Okay.
That's when I can sit. It's like when I got a job.
But you're so young. How is this? Were you working at 13?
I was 2005. I was 22.
You're
23.
A baby. You're a baby.
Yes. Yeah,
good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for the great Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. I'm on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower, beautiful Trib Tower. Coming up the next hour, we're going to talk to. We're first going to talk to, I believe, we're talking to Robin Coffin and Sarah Savini and Corey Pascoe from the Factory Theater. And then we're going to talk to the people from Collaboration, who are doing this a very cool project called Peace Book. We just heard Esmeralda, we just heard Vic talking about the violence and the people, you know, talking about they're going to shoot police. And so Collaboration, have you ever heard of Collaboration? You're kind of a theater person, aren't you?
I have heard of them. I haven't seen anything they've done.
Yeah. So they're a very cool company, theater company, and their primary work is to reduce violence in the city of Chicago, which I think is much needed and very important. So we're going to talk to them in a little bit. I want to, someone sent me this story, the five craziest shark attacks stories of all time. All right. So these are pretty amazing. So it said, you know, Shark Week is over. And, but a wise man once said, this is from the Huffington Post. Someone sent it to me. A wise man once said, you should live every week like it's Shark Week. That man might have been Tracy Jordan. But he has a point. And since it's still summer, we thought we'd just tell you some insane shark attack tales they're saying. Okay, so the dolphin defenders. These are true stories. All right. A thwarted shark attack. Rob Ho. That's a weird and interesting name. Okay, Rob Ho, his teenage daughter, and two of her friends were swimming about 300 feet from New Zealand's ocean beach when seven dolphins sped towards them. The animals formed circles around Ho and the girls and aggressively slapped their tails against the water. Ho wasn't sure what was happening until an opening appeared for a second and he spied an unmistakable great white shark. The dolphins maintained a shield around the group, all lifeguards, incidentally. Well, I don't know why that matters, but okay. They stayed there for 40 minutes, staying with them as they swam back to shore. Basically, dolphins are heroes and deserve a TV show way more than sharks. What? I mean, people always say dolphins are really smart. That's fantastic. That's That's fantastic. I don't mind dolphins. Esmeralda, you like dolphins? They're all right, right?
They're okay. I don't know if I want to pet them or anything.
No,
like
people
that.
Swim with dolphins.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine just looking at them from far away.
Yeah, I'm not much for those. I mean, I know they're supposed to be sweet and nice, but they're a little creepy.
It's their smooth, slick skin.
Yeah. Speaking of smooth, slick skin, how's your baby feet? Do you still do that, Esmeralda?
Oh, you do it once and then everything's supposed to fall off. It didn't really fall off.
What?
It did a little bit, but not so much. I think I have to go like round two for it to do anything proper.
Oh, see, so for people thinking what is going on with the baby feet, so if you which you should be, a regular listener to Nick DiGilio and Esmeralda on the overnights, Esmeralda had purchased, it was all the rage, right? Is it from Japan?
I believe so, yeah.
And it is this stuff you put on your feet, and it makes your skin supposed to slough off, right?
Right.
The dead
so it's
skin.
It's like a peel of sorts. And then you put your feet into these little plastic baggies with some stuff in it. And then a few days later, it's supposed to just start, the dry skin just comes off like in sheets. People had just sheets of dry skin falling off. For me, it was not that case. You could see it. It kind of looked more like,
what was
when
it? What did it look
sunburn.
Like? Oh.
So just kind of peeling that way, not too much. When you would wet it again, it would get a little more peely,
more
but it wasn't so as, it wasn't sheet.
So you wouldn't give it like a top rating for a exfoliation of the feet. It wasn't
a
miracle.
I have pretty rough calloused heels, so I think that's probably why. If I did it probably more than once.
Okay. Are you going to do it again, do you think?
It's a little too much money.
Oh, it's expensive?
Yeah, it was, I think.
How much?
20 or 30.
Yeah, just for one.
For one thing, and it's like,
Yeah, and do you have to wrap the stuff for hours on end, or how does it?
I think it was maybe an hour.
Okay.
I believe.
That's not bad.
But it's kind of a whole process. You have to soak your feet for so long, put these things on, and then soak them again, and then you wait so many days, and it's just, it's not, I'll just scrub my feet, it's fine.
Wow, yeah. I mean, at a certain point, it's like, yes, I want dolphin feet, but like, what am I willing to, is it that important? You know what I mean? Like, it's not that important to me. Some people really go in, I'm not a pedicure person. I'm not a manicure person. I don't do that kind of stuff. It's just not my jam. Do you do that kind of stuff? Pedicures and manicures?
Every once in a great while.
Me too. It has to be, I don't know what it has to be, but I find it really expensive. And I also think, oh man, I got bigger fish to fry. Speaking of fish, here's another shark story. Okay. This is a horrifying story of Robert Pamperin. It's back to June of 1959. The scene, San Diego's La Jolla Cove. Pamperin was diving for sea snails. First of all, who goes diving for, I don't even know what a sea snail is, with his buddy. And everything was going smoothly. Another reference to smooth. And everything was going smoothly until his friend heard Pamperin scream. He looked over and saw Robert hoisted high out of the water with his mask. Why was he so high up? The entire lower half of his body was in the mouth of a shark. Oh, the friend followed the shark underwater and tried to divert its attention, but it wouldn't take the bait, so he swam to shore for help instead. He left his friend. I might do the same. I got to be honest. I don't know. By the time a rescue team got there, all they could find was a lone swim fin, which means the shark probably swallowed him whole.
Wow.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, we've got some, there's some stuff there, boy. That is some stuff there. Yeah, the terrifying quote, they have these like terrifying quotes that go along with it. And it was so big. I thought at first it was a killer whale. It had a white belly and I could see its jaws and jagged teeth. It was between me and Bob and I could see him kicking his legs at it. Oh, these are sad. I thought these were going to be people that survived. My friend is trying to really depress us, Esmeralda. She's trying to get us to feel terrible. But that's, wow. Wow. So you know that story of the soul surfer girl, right? Do you know that they made a movie about her.
Right. She lost part of her arm?
She lost one whole arm, it says here, when she was 13 years old. And she lost her entire left arm and over 60% of her blood. But thanks to her friend's father, who fashioned a quick tourniquet. Now, listen, do you know how many lives have been saved by quick tourniquets? Probably a ton. So that's wow. And the amazing this woman grew up, got married and went on the Amazing Race and had a kid. And it says, what have you done lately?
Right. Those are the ones where I'm like, I feel so bad.
Yeah, I do.
I do nothing. When I got two arms.
Yeah, me too. When I hear those stories, I'm like, oh, I can't even, you know, it's hard for me to walk around the block. What's going on here? You know, what is going on here? So, yeah, I'm not a big fan. I like Shark Week. I like watching that kind of stuff. But I definitely don't feel like, you know, I want to go into a tank with a shark. And here's the thing. What is it about? And the humans have this thing. I mean, it goes back to sort of Captain Ahab and then all the old man in the sea. And we have this fascination, I think, with dark sea, you know, deep, dark unknown. I don't have that fascination.
I'm with you.
What are you, a camper?
Yeah, a weekend,
neither.
But
oh,
then
you
I want to go home.
You will do it. I won't even do a weekend.
See, but it has to be in one of those places where I'm at least a 10-minute walk. A 10-minute walk from a toilet.
See, that is the thing. So people always want to go camping, and I'm like, sure. Is there a bathroom? Is there a proper one too? A proper bathroom. Not I'm not talking an outhouse.
I'll deal with that.
You will.
But as long as there's one somewhere closer, where at some point I can go rinse my hands off.
Yeah.
And do that whole thing. But yeah. I can't just go into the middle of nowhere.
No, there's a lot of people that do that, though. So people may or may probably don't know, of course, unless you follow me on Facebook, that I spent a little bit on a farm recently. I was accepted into this thing called Swarm Residency, which is this amazing program where you get to go into the woods. There is a house and a proper bathroom. So I said yes. And you do your thing, right? You write and stuff like that. And everyone thought I was crazy because at night I would walk around and lock all the windows and the doors. I mean, we're in a farm, but I was like, and they're like, Jen, what are you doing, Jen? And I'm like, oh no, I'm protecting us. They're like, from what? I'm like, I don't know, but I don't like, you know, I managed on the farm, but I spent most of there was one air conditioned room on the farm and I stayed there the whole time while other people were frolicking and, you know, blowing weed and stuff like that. I was like actually writing and trying to do my thing. So yeah, I'm not a big camper. People are like, well, go glamping. You know, there's glamping.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I had money, I'd go glamping.
Yeah. Glamping is expensive. It's not a light thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's interesting that. Yeah. Anyway, nature. It's a whole thing. Nature is a whole thing. And speaking of nature, people were asking me, we're going to go and talk about things to do before summer ends in nature and not in nature. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is from the Time Out. Time Out Chicago, is it? No, Time Out. Does it still exist, Time Out?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. What does not? Oh, Chicago Magazine does not exist anymore, I don't think. They had some kind of.
Oh, maybe they're just online.
Yeah, I think everyone's moving to that online situation. There's no more magazines going on. So it says, look at gorgeous photos of the summer so far. Okay. Are you a photographer? Do you take pictures on your phone?
I take pictures, but yeah. they're nothing it says, fancy.
Take a look at beautiful photos already and try to savor the moments. Okay. Dine al fresco. So there's patios open every year, new ones open every year. And the favorite one of Time Out Chicago is the Dawson. Have you been there?
Oh, I have been there.
Yeah, which is huge and serving up a terrific frozen Mai Tai.
Oh.
I don't know. The Dawson. Ladies and gentlemen, go get yourself to the Dawson.
And, see, here's what it is. The Dawson is at Grand in Milwaukee. If you're bored of the fancy pants, you go across the street and go to Richard's Bar.
Oh, good to know.
Very, very low.
I'm like
low
a low.
Cost.
I'm kind of like that. I'm kind of a let's do a little under, like, I like dive bars. I'm not a fancy schmancy, but I do like going to the fancy schmancy once in a while just to see how the other half live.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then I'll go back to Richard's. It says, already been to the Dawson? Eat pizza at Stella Barra Pizzeria. Have you been there?
I have not.
Have you been to Temperance Beer Company? The Beer Garden? I don't know. I haven't been there. And how about this? Everyone's talking about honey butter fried chicken. Have you had that?
That I have.
Is it delicious?
It is delicious. A little pricey, but, you know, they have good chickens or something.
So
it's super good.
It doesn't say where these places are. Where is the honey butter fried chicken?
So honey butter is at Elston and Sacramento, essentially. It's it's actually not too far from Chief O'Neill's and from
the Prop Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. There's always Chief O'Neill's. I like Chief O'Neill's. And bringing it all back around. The Factory Theater used to be at the Prop Theater. Not anymore. They've moved to a space on Howard, and we're going to be talking with those ladies in just a second. Okay. But honey buttered fried chicken. Delicious. It says, take a dip in a pool. Now listen. I don't like pools. I don't like public pools. There's many things I don't like about them. I don't like changing in one of those weird locker rooms. I don't know. Like, these are city. They're talking about Chicago has best outdoor pools in the Park District in the country, they claim. There's some with diving boards, some without. There's Washington Park Pool. And there's Holstein Park swimming hole. I don't like it. I don't like changing in front of other people. I don't like lockers. And I don't like stepping on the linoleum or the tiled floor in those places. But
right? You got to get flip-flops. No,
I know. But
special for that. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah. You got to get flip-flops. It doesn't seem very sanitary. I know people love pools. It's just not my jam. Okay. Outdoor concerts. Now, we talked yesterday morning. You just went to one at the Hot Dog Fest.
I did.
You saw JC, what's his name?
JC Brooks.
And the Uptown Sound.
Yes.
So we got Ravinia. You been to Ravinia?
I haven't.
I have been.
I need to make a trip.
Now, here's the thing. It's beautiful and people go all out. There's candelabras, tables, all kinds of stuff. They bring like a whole buffet, a whole situation. I saw Tony Bennett there. I'm not a huge Tony Bennett fan. I like him. I happen to have a free ticket, and it was packed out. And the thing is, people get there at like 3 p.m. and stake out their spot. So you have to really fight. It's a bunch of people fighting for these little spots. And for those of us who have jobs and things, you can't just be like, see you later. I'm going to stake out my spot at Ravinia. But I do like being outside for a concert. I think we're lucky in that. Have you been to the Shell and all the what is it? The Disney, in LA, it's the Disney Shell, the Millennium Park. What happens there?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Which is, I think, from what everyone says about Ravinia, I feel like Millennium Park's like the free option.
Yep. It is. I, what is the name of that band Shell there?
It's, I think it's just
The Millennium Park.
Millennium Park. You're thinking of Petrillo.
That's the old one.
Right. It's over. That's in Grant Park.
Yeah. That's like the beautiful Millennium Park.
That's nice. They have music there every Monday. So tonight, but you shouldn't do that because you should be going to see Nick DiGilio.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'm sorry. It
was
last Mondays.
Night. So
no, they have it Mondays and Thursdays.
Oh, so it's coming up.
Yeah, they have free music.
See, that's really good. You guys go and see the free music that is in our city. You know, I mean, people complain there's nothing to do. There are things to do.
There's plenty to do.
Okay. Drink. Do you know what a Rattler is?
Yes.
Okay, tell us what a Rattler is, Esmeralda.
So a Rattler is it's usually a lighter beer, a Pilsner or a lager, and then there is a fruit juice.
What?
I'm sorry, not fruit juice, soda.
Yeah.
So the ones I like, there's a Stiegel Radler, which is grapefruit juice, grapefruit
Stiegel,
soda.
Is Stiegel the brand?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the beer's, it's a lighter beer.
So you can make these at home.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you do the mix. You have to look that up because you can just buy the Stiegel Radler and it's lovely. It's grapefruit.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. I had a Rattler. Lime one not some days ago.
Wow. And yeah, it, because, you know, soon is coming all that pumpkin stuff. We're going to be inundated with fall pumpkin this and pumpkin candles and pumpkin beer.
Yeah. And then, well, the nice thing about Rattlers is they're very low alcohol.
Oh.
They're about 3%.
Oh.
So you can sip on them and it's not too hefty.
Wow. Good to know. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little more with the amazing Esmeralda, who keeps getting texts about her on my phone, which is pretty cool. And then we're going to talk and we're going to take a break. And after that, at the top of the hour, we're going to meet with the factory ladies and have a chat with them. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for the great Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Soon, coming up after at top of the hour, after we do our news and all that business, I'm going to be talking with the ladies from the Factory Theater, three of them, three ensemble members, Robin, Sarah, and Corey, and we're going to talk about everything that's going on in their lives and at the Factory Theater. And then after that, we are going to talk with the people from something called Peace Book, which is a theater festival, a dance festival. They do theater, dance. There's like emceeing, there's rap, all trying to bring peace to the city of Chicago. And there's it's sort of a festival that's happening for the next couple weekends. And that should be really interesting to talk with them. They're good people and I like them. Right now we're talking though about, I'm talking with my friend Esmeralda about things to do in this great city before summer comes to an end. And the next one is, Esmeralda, some street festivals. Are you a street festival person?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good.
Have you been to any good ones this summer or no?
Dew Division wasn't bad.
What's it called?
Dew Division.
Oh, clearly it's on Division.
Yes.
Okay. I've got, yes. got that going for me. And that was pretty good. This one is saying Chicago Food Social, August 23rd and 24th. You can look that up. It's a food truck festival that I'd like to go to.
Oh, see, yeah, I like those.
Me too. I like. And are they banned? They're banned, like, unless there's a special event, right, in the city of Chicago, or not anymore?
No, it's not. They're not banned. There's a lot of rules.
Oh,
but I think they can now cook. Some can cook. There's a lot of thing they have to go through to be able to cook on the truck. But
got it.
They can be around. I don't know what the rule is.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, that's true. I saw a donut food truck. They have that going downtown, which I have to run away from.
That's what I'm bummed about, is that you don't see the food trucks too often outside of downtown.
Yeah, they should go in different neighborhoods. That would be so fun. Yeah, in LA, they're all over in every neighborhood, and it's super fun. The other thing is, there's an oyster fest. Do you like oysters?
I have been learning.
Oh!
I've been learning to like them.
Now, what, at first, because they got that dolphin situation where they're slimy and smooth, right? But you're learning to like them because my guess is someone in your life likes oysters.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a thing of I'm pretty much like any type of food. If it looks good, I'll eat it.
Okay.
It's pretty much my philosophy. And I'll try something twice. And after that, if I don't like it, then that's it. I tried twice. And the first time I tried oysters, it wasn't that great. But then I tried them again. I'm like, you know what? These aren't that bad.
What is it? Can I ask what does it taste like? Or
it depends. Oh. If you get some from the East Coast or the West Coast, they're kind of briny. Some are a little sweeter.
Wow.
They do have a little bit of an oceany taste.
An oceany taste,
mind you, because they are from the ocean.
Well, that makes sense.
But yeah, they kind of sometimes they can be a bit strong. But you get all these little sauces put on top, and it's not too bad. Yeah, and you just down the hatch.
Wow, I'm liking that.
You get fried oysters. I mean, anything fried.
I could do fried, because you could fry a table leg.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, this is delicious.
Yep.
What about Lakeview Taco Fest? That's coming up in September. That sounds delicious. Although Lakeview kind of scares me. There's no parking ever. Well, that's why you take the public transportation.
Right.
We got Patrick, right? Patrick on the line. Let's talk to Patrick. Hey, Patrick, what's going on?
Well, first off, I have to say a what's up to my buddy that's driving a UPS semi, Matt Mayhew. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Matt Mayhew. Okay.
No, he's not, but you're not, but he listens to you guys all every night. He tells me, Leah, I hear you called in.
Oh, anyway, nice. Look at you.
I wanted to tell you, ladies, with the texting, if you want immediate response, do not text.
Oh.
Call.
You're about calling.
Yeah, but what if they don't pick up?
What if they don't pick up?
They don't pick up.
Oh.
They're busy.
Okay. You're telling us to calm down is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, do you not get a text every once in a while where you're doing something? You're like, man, again, everybody's different what they're doing.
That's true.
You know, I'm a heating and air conditioning refrigeration guy. So if you text me, if I'm in a walk-in cooler, I'm not getting your text. If I'm in a building that has five layers of concrete, I'm not getting your text until I walk outside.
That's true. I hear
so
you. Yeah.
Chill with that.
So chill. Call. Oh,
No.
Okay.
No, not even chill. Just call. If you want to answer immediately, call.
Okay.
If they don't answer, they don't answer. Because, I mean, obviously, like I said, you can be in buildings that don't get a signal.
That's true. That's true.
And girl, everybody, not even girls.
Isn't that just
everybody out there that's listening to the show?
Not just
if
girls.
If you want an immediate response, call. And if you don't get an answer, think about it. You're calling a cell phone.
Wow.
It might not be. Getting a signal.
Oh, Patrick, thank you. I'm going to chill. I'm going to just
chilling. I'm just guessing.
Okay.
These girls are beautiful.
Oh.
Both of you.
Wow.
You know, and even if you're not.
That's my favorite. Even if you're not. All right, Patrick, I gotta hit the news.
To you and listening to you.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Talking to you and listening to you. Okay. You sound beautiful.
Okay.
So at heart, you're beautiful.
All right. So, thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. We're beautiful. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D here on WGN 720 AM. I'm super excited because I have three amazing ladies. Oh, it's so funny. Someone texted me and was like, you use the word amazing too much. And I'm like, of all words, you can't use the word amazing too much.
I have to agree with that.
I totally agree.
I mean, amazing is a good word.
It is a great word.
It's not like I say, I don't know, garbage.
I like the word delicious.
I'm going to start using that.
Okay.
I'm in.
You're going to have to quote me, though.
Trademark. I'm in the studio with three delicious women.
See, that gets a little weird. But
yeah,
it's
does
okay.
get a
kinda,
little weird.
I kind of like it. It's all right.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll take it.
Okay. So these, I'm going to actually have you guys introduce yourselves. We'll start on this end with Sarah.
I'm Sarah Savini.
Hi, I'm Corey Pasco.
Hi, I'm Robin Coffin.
Hi, everybody. It's so nice to have you.
It's so nice to be here.
So these women are, I'm going to say artists. I like to say that because it is true. And it encompasses, you guys don't just do one thing.
True.
So that is important because I feel like I was talking off air with someone about how sometimes, especially as women, they like to put us into little boxes and you are this and you are this and you cannot do this. And I say no. I say no. We can do it all.
I say no.
I say shut up. I say I'm not listening to you in your
There you
box.
Go. That's, yeah. There you go.
I don't have time for that. I have things to do.
And the thing that I think you, and you said yes, you have in common is you all are members.
Yep. Ensemble members
at the Factory Theater, which has a brand new space.
Mm-hmm.
And
so pretty.
I pass by it. I have to say I have not been in it. I pass by it. I live close by. And I have seen shows that you guys have done, but not at the new space. You've had one show or two?
We're in our second. Right?
Second show.
We are in the midst of it currently.
Okay. Yeah. And that show is?
Dating and Dragons.
By Mike Wee.
There you go.
Closes August 13th.
There you go.
Just this Saturday.
Fantastic.
That was really
8
good
p.m.
teamwork.
Show on Friday and Saturday.
There you go. Okay. TheFactoryTheater.com, I'm assuming.
Or just yes, Factory. That's right.
Okay. Theater with an E-R.
E-R.
.com.
Which I love.
E-R.
Because we're not fancy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
It's not old-timey radio.
No. We're not Futura.
No.
So
we're not Futura.
What? What? Why don't you guys tell me, and we'll start with Robin, how you ended up as part of the Factory Theater Ensemble?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Jen.
Is it?
These lovely ladies to my right here, I've actually known for about 21 years. Sarah, yep. I've known for about 15-ish.
Yeah.
We'll round up. Yeah. 15. Okay. So we've worked together way, way back and had a lot of time together. When I moved back from Seattle, they were both members of the Factory Theater, which I was aware of. And I saw their wonderful, wonderful show that they wrote called The League of Awesome. And I was hooked. And then I worked at a restaurant called Petterino's here down the street. Just had dinner there tonight, actually.
Hey, atta girl.
And I worked with a young man named Tim Amos. And we were polishing silverware in the dining room one morning at about 10 o'clock. And he said, "Are you funny?" And I said, "Yes."
"Yes, I am."
And he said, "Would you like to audition for the Factory Theater?" And I said, "Well, gosh darn it, yes."
Yay. I didn't know this story.
And the next day, Colin Milroy, who is also an ensemble member, who was casting director at that time, gave me a call and invited me to audition for, oh my gosh, what was the first show I did?
White Trash?
No.
No. Zombies?
No. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with
we'll
my
we'll figure
brain?
It out. I can Google it. Sure, we can.
It was Esteban. It was the
Easy Six.
Easy Six. Easy Six, yes.
I thought Montez. Yes.
Scott Oaken, Ernie Deke wrote it. I auditioned for it and I got cast. And then I did White Trash Wedding and a Funeral. And then four years. Oh, thank you. 4 years ago, I became an ensemble member.
Fantastic.
On July 27th. I remember that, but I can't remember the name of the first damn show
I did. That's okay. That's okay.
You remember the date. I don't have that.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
So, Corey, what about you?
I was at a going away / cast party for a show from Sarah's company. No, I'm lying. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Open Eye. It was Factory at Abbey Hoffman that you were in.
Yes.
Right. So I went to see her and another friend of ours, Alexis Klossner, and the closing out party was at Sarah's company space, and also a farewell to Alexis as they were moving back to Texas. And
it rhymes.
It does. That's why her email, Alexis from Texas. at imnottellingyouwhat.com, because you don't need to know that.
Okay.
So a well-lubricated Allison Kane, formerly our managing director, came up and said, I was told to find and talk to funny women, and so...
I told her to go
She
over.
Did. She's like, so that's apparently you. So I'm like, I see. So somehow I got wrangled into auditioning like the next day. And I looked at Alexis. I'm like, what did I just do? What just happened? She's like, you're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And then I wound up in Top Shelf in 2004, 2005, which was a show about strippers.
Oh.
In which I played an attorney.
That was my first show, too.
Yeah. With this one. In fact, we went in to audition for the same roles. Mm-hmm. And we read for one and then the other. Yep. And that was that. And then by the time we were doing Siskel and Ebert Save Chicago in 2006, mm-hmm. seven, sure. Then I was an ensemble member and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sarah?
I was a stalker.
Oh. Great. Good.
This was the first theater company that I saw. And I had my own theater company. So it was, I mean, like I was a part of the scene and I was working and there was a lot of great theaters that were popping up in the mid 90s that were just really, they were just filled with so many talented people that you just wanted to be a part of, and the Factory was one of them. It was the first place that I saw women who had absolutely no apologies. They were dirty, dangerous characters with absolutely no apologizing, and it was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And so I started stalking.
That's a good, you know,
reasonable. And then time went, and I was doing other things, and then a mutual friend, Jason Lubo, was doing an Abbey Hoffman and brought back a piece.
Why didn't someone tell us what the Abbey Hoffman is?
Oh, because there's one left. So,
yeah, it's a festival that Rich Kotowski does through Mary Archie.
It's the Abbey Hoffman Died for Our Sins Festival. I believe this will be 27?
27, yeah.
I think
27,
so.
and last. Because Mary Archie is...
No longer.
Right.
Yeah, and so it was this short piece that Factory had done a long time ago called Rapid Fire. And Nick DiGilio saw me in it and then called me in for Top Shelf to audition. And then, the same year we became ensemble members after doing different shows.
Right.
Wow.
My first two shows with the Factory were directed by Nick.
That's... Okay, so the Nick story, Nick story that I think Robin might know, my husband...
Miles,
who is a nice gentleman.
Oh,
that's always helpful.
Yeah. That's how it works in his favor. And he...
is a WGN fan and has been for years. And when I moved back from LA in 2006, unfortunately, I feel like I told this story earlier, but I'm just going to tell it again.
I wasn't here.
No, you weren't here. It doesn't matter.
So then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So my father had passed away and I was having insomnia and Miles was like, listen to WGN. And I was like, I am too cool for AM radio. I am not going to listen to it. And then he turned it on and I fell in love. And I mm-hmm. fell in love with Nick DiGilio's voice. And we've talked about it since. He sort of helped me through a hard time without knowing it. I had no idea who he was.
Wow.
And
then that's amazing.
It is amazing.
And
that's
so great. then as I progressed in, you know, got better and started writing and started doing a lot of live lit events, I said, well, maybe this Nick DiGilio will have me on to promote my event. And I went on as a guest. You know, we hit it off. And then I kept being a guest. And finally, he said, you know, and I said, I should be a host. I should be a host here.
Like, or
I
should. Great.
This is fun.
I want to go on the
and
other
so
side.
And so Nick is my radio mentor. And so that's how fantastic. I got my gig here, is basically Nick DiGilio, which is funny because Roy Leonard was his
right.
mentor,
yep.
and that's
right.
how he got. Yeah. So it was the same, the cycle. It's like a Hakuna Matata.
It.
You know?
It is.
Yeah,
it's
a circle of life.
It forward.
So anyway, so that's how you guys all ended up. Why? You mentioned a little, Sarah, about what you connected with when you saw the Factory Theater mm-hmm. shows that you saw. What about you guys? Why do you like it there? Why is it unique? Why is the Factory Theater unique?
Well, I think Sarah touched on a really big thing, was, you know, seeing women who can just be bold and brash and ugly and put all of it out there. There's something really sexy and awesome about that, and I wanted to be a part of that because
absolutely.
I just appreciate that, and there's an outlet for it. You know, we write, we don't have any shame in our writing, and it just lends itself to women being able to be as funny as humanly possible.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely a boys club that exists, obviously, with comedy, and the Factory is, I mean, bless them, but they're no exception to it. But what's great about it is that they're like, yes, we know. But also, you are stronger than all of us. So why don't you go ahead and speak your voice and speak
do your
it loud?
Thing. Mm-hmm.
Like it, and that is great. There is an honest recognition of like, this is who we are, but this is who you are, and we want to celebrate that and make it really, really loud. One of my first rehearsals for Top Shelf, Nick didn't know me at all, and they made a character so I could also be in the second act as well as this first one. They're like, we just wanted to hear the name of the restaurant, which I don't think I can say on the air.
No.
Okay. So great. So, you know, and he's like, so you can just improvise the scene, you've got some specials ready to go. I'm like, you don't know me at all, and I just get to come in and improvise and blow the room apart, which is what I got to do.
Yay.
And I was like, thank you for that. And it was just expected that you're here, so
you step up.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I didn't actually know. I've seen a bunch of shows there, but now hearing you guys talk about it, it is sort of an empowered company in that way.
Well, and it also looks a lot easier to do the type of comedy that we do than it actually
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, there's a line.
Yeah.
And we are right on top of that
right.
line. But if you go over, then it's
not
yeah because you're commenting
the show,
right.
and you're telecasting to the audience, there's a wink that we don't
yeah.
want to have.
We got a little so I think it is time for a break, is it not? Oh, it's just time for a break. Thank you, ladies, for putting up with me. When you're filling, you don't know what's going on, you're just kind of like, oh. So anyway, it is now just about 3:15 and we're taking a break. This is Jen B filling in for Nick DiGilio on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. I have the brilliant Sarah, Corey, and Robin here, who are actresses, but also do millions of other things, which we'll get into. But I guess my question is, we were talking about the Factory Theater and how I use the word empowered, and I did feel like that. I've seen a bunch of shows there. My last show, actually, I saw there was Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That Nick directed.
That Nick directed. That's how I ended up there. But I saw a show. Did you guys, what space was, I mean, I know that one went to the Raven, but what was the space that was primarily?
Prop.
That's
the prop
it.
On Elston.
We were there for 10 years.
The prop yeah. on Elston. I went to the restaurant across the street.
My
husband and I would go see.
They're great.
Yeah.
We live
so
there.
I thought it was special, and I thought it was different. And also, there's sort of this thing about the Factory Theater that I see is super not a lot of ego. Now, I'm not on the inside, and I don't know any of the stuff, but I didn't feel...
we're amazing. I'm sorry.
I didn't feel like there were... Like, what I was seeing on stage was not like... You were talking about riding the line. It was not like... taking itself so seriously that you're like, okay, it's sometimes it's too much. Yeah. Sometimes, and there was humor, but there was also serious vibes going on there. But what I liked was it wasn't, I won't name any big theaters or because whatever, but there wasn't sort of this pretense of like acting. It was more like great acting doesn't, you don't need to telecast that you're doing great acting.
Right.
Yeah, just do your job.
Do your job. Tell the truth.
And we really want, I mean, I think that that's something that we talk about with, I mean, our mission statement is pretty clear, which I'll let somebody else say.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for looking at me.
But the point that I was going to make is that a lot of our members really take a lot of pride in having our theater be a theater that when you don't want to go to theater,
yes.
you want to go to Factory.
That's yes.
Right. You know, so right. that it's a theater for the Everman. If you're like, oh, I don't want to go, it's going to be too much. You can take your spouse or your boyfriend who hates or whatever, and then they'll have fun.
Yes. Yes, because my husband is not a big, like, my husband will fall asleep at theater. He did not fall right. asleep at the Factory. He will fall asleep at other theaters where you pay $120 a ticket.
We're usually too loud.
I was just going to fall asleep.
Yeah. Our mission statement is, Factory Theater delivers unexpected, unapologetic theatrical experiences through original works forged and assembled by our shameless ensemble.
That is great. That's a beautiful mission statement.
And we hold true to that.
Shameless ensemble. Yeah. That is fantastic. Like
we
you were saying,
shameless.
No apologies. No apologies.
No, and there is there's a rigorous process that has gotten refined over time, and I'm sure will continue to, but like, you know, the ensemble writes the work. That goes through at least, it has to officially go through 2 readings, 3 drafts before it's even submitted. And that's just the official count. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to go through about 5 million drafts. Sarah and I stopped numbering them seriously. And I think right now we have
infinity.
It's either infinity or negative infinity.
It could be negative infinity.
It's a different symbol. We're like, draft Google. I don't even know anymore. And it's constantly in flux. It's a living, breathing thing until it goes up and then takes its own shape as shows do. But you have to be ready for that.
Through previews. I mean, we ask questions of our audience through previews because we're always learning, especially now that we're in a new space. There are sight lines. There are different things that we're doing. And we want it to be right.
Yeah. And right and good and clear and
entertaining.
And entertaining.
And sure. Have a good time.
And we're always up to doing something new. I'm actually directing next January.
Wait a minute.
Yes, January. Yes,
yes
I am.
Is this brand new news?
Yeah.
Pretty new.
Yeah. Pretty new.
Wow.
I'm directing Carrie Sullivan's show, Next Big Thing.
Wow.
It's a very, very different show for us. It will be a totally different construct, and it's something that we've never really done before. That Carrie and I are both terrified and exhilarated about. But she's on her upteenth draft. I don't even know how many.
She's been working on that for
a long time.
It's going to be all Sharpay's, this production, right?
Yes, I've cast all the dogs.
They're lying.
All the
They're
dogs. No, it's not dogs. Okay.
No, it's not.
Well, and then my other question, among many, is how did you guys realize that you wanted to be performers? We'll start with you, Sarah. Like, what, how did that?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we have five hours?
Yeah. When I was a little girl.
No, my problems began.
I started as a piano player. My mom played piano, and I picked it up, and I started playing when I was very young, about 3. And that was kind of the path that was going to be my life. And I love playing piano, but I really didn't feel a connection to it. It's solitary. It wasn't something that I was as interested in as I wanted to sing and I wanted to be an actor. I didn't want to be a writer. That's something that happened.
Too bad.
I know, too bad. And I wanted to do improv. I have family members that were very high up at Second City, and I wanted to emulate them, and I wanted to follow in their footsteps. And so that was always a big dream to do that. And so then I started in high school, and I never stopped.
Hmm. Where are you from?
I'm from Evanston. Like you.
Wait a minute.
I know. But I left. I left ETHS junior year, and I went to Wayland Academy up in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Can I ask you? Do you around what? I can state my
okay.
truth.
Okay.
I graduated in '93.
Yeah, you're much younger.
Okay. Well.
You're younger than my sister.
Okay.
She is.
Yeah. My sister's 3 years younger than me. I graduated in '88.
Oh, okay. Not,
I mean,
not that much
younger.
No, I'm like, you're
I'm so
like,
1902.
Sarah's right? actually 75. She just looks little. It's all that Arbonne.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And what, oh, six.
What about you, Corey? Like, how did it progress?
I was like an illness.
Yeah.
It grew and festered. I was that kid who was making character, like doing characters at my parents' cocktail parties, kind of thing. Like, you know, because what better excuse to drink when you have children is to have cocktail parties.
So I privately, like, not in
I came downstairs.
Oh, the
and
70s.
I mean, yeah. Right? So I was like, what a brilliant time to be alive. So I kept doing that. And then at some point in this weird, like, pre-Truman Show imagination, I just imagined that I was on all the time. Just, like, at any point until I forgot about it. But at any point, there was some, like, Statler and Waldorf somewhere commenting on my reel forever about my life. I'm like eight, and
wow.
this is what I think is happening.
Did you sing The Winner Takes It All to the mirror with your...
No, brush? I sang Music in the Mirror from A Chorus Line.
Oh, very good.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, over and over again. And then I went to the Chicago Academy for the Arts for my second 2 years of high
That's
school.
That's fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, but basically. way weirder at the time. Now yeah. it's. I was told when I went back to direct there, they're like, we have to tell everyone about your era, something about this school. It's a real school now. I'm like, oh.
One of our ensemble members' son just started going there.
That's
very
right.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
That's yes. right.
He gets to go to the real school.
He does.
I went to the one that
you went to.
That was a
one.
Sort yeah. of a yeah a camp maybe.
It was more of a home for derelicts.
Okay.
Who had some talent.
Alternative camp.
Yes, it was.
That's what a derelict camp.
There was a big empty room where you just crashed on the couch. I was on sneak previews.
I thought you were going to say drugs.
I was one of the only people who were not on drugs at the time. I was I should have been. But it was wonderful. So I was on sneak previews, and they filmed in my house, and it was just really for a
that is
pilot.
So cool.
It was very weird.
So we're gonna break, but when we get back, I want to hear more about sneak previews because I don't know what that is, and I want to know what that is. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here, and I'm here with three. I'm going to say amazing because maybe delicious does sound, you know, I don't know.
Slightly personal.
And it's also not really me. I like when Sarah said it.
It makes sense when she said it.
Yeah, it's very Sarah.
Me, yeah, amazing is more my jam. So we're talking.
You can own that.
Okay. I'm going to own it. I'm
own
not.
Truth.
I'm going to own my truth. Stand in my power. And,
I'm planted, not buried, cliche. Jen. Planted, not buried.
Wow. Planted, not buried.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That was my feedback today.
Yeah.
For Robin. We're planted, not buried.
Oh, nice.
It was intense. It was a day.
It's a day. Nice.
So I'm here with Sarah, Corey, and Robin, who are actors and writers and coaches and improvise. I mean, it's one of these things where the reason I wanted to have you guys on is that you don't, there's not just, I find, to be honest, just actors really boring.
You're kind of horrible. I don't know. We're awful.
And I hate to say that, but I've said it before, only because there's so, when people are like, I just act. If you have something to fall back on, you will fall back. And I'm like, no. You'll fall anyway, so might as well do other things while you're falling. You know what I mean? Direct a show, coach, you teach some kids, do some stuff. But so, Corey, you were saying, what is the sneak previews business you were on?
Sneak previews is it still around? Does anyone know?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It was very 80s.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Although this was early 90s, so we'll go with that. All right. But thanks for trying to age me a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
I really appreciate that.
Mural week.
You know what?
But please tell us more about Sneak Preview.
Yeah. Great. It was a movie review show. It was our local version of At the Movies. So what was that? Richard Roper and
Some guy.
Some other guy.
You had a mustache. I remember that.
Yes.
Wait, it's coming back to me.
Is it all coming back to you now?
Yes, it is. Wow. I'm really proud of the harmonies that just happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I would leave school in the middle of the day because you just got a pass. You're like, I have an audition. Oh, I have a thing. So they're like, great.
It's derelict camp.
Yeah, it's totally derelict camp. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing derelict camp. I need to put that out there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You learned something
My
there.
Teachers were phenomenal, and they were all working actors. So, like, you would learn their business right away, what they had to go through every day. And so... So, yeah, I would leave class, and then I would go to Ed DeBevick's.
Oh, my.
Right? It was empty because it wasn't open yet. And then they would...
This is like a child's dream.
I know. Yeah. I'd talk about movies, and then I'd go back to school. And then they tried to do, like, a little pilot spinoff thing, and they had to film a section in my house, which they had to try to make my room look like a typical teenager's room.
Oh.
That took a lot of work.
So you, let's be honest, you were a child star.
You guys.
Kind of.
I was a child star. Let's be real.
She came out okay.
Yeah. I mean, she did.
I mean, that's pretty. I mean, for a kid that wants to be a performer, to have that experience when you're in high school. I mean, I was like understudying the chorus member in Our Town in high school. You know what I'm saying? So who has no lines? So, or, you know.
And that's what I do now. So
full circle.
Full circle. Yeah,
no.
No, that is not what you do now.
It's not. But it was really, it helped a lot. It helped very much to create this work ethic. It helped. We did a lot of outreach, and so we would go and talk to other kids, and there was a lot of...
She was inspirational.
I really was. I got to meet Oprah. That was really nice.
I never met Oprah, but there's still time.
There's still time.
Yeah.
She hasn't left.
She's around.
She's in Napa.
She's in Napa. She's omniscient.
And Robin, what about you?
Well, I always like to tell the version that my mother tells, which was when I was little, I would listen to those Walt Disney records.
Mm-hmm.
At the chime, turn the page.
Yes, I love those.
Bing. Yes. So my mom would put me to bed, and I would sneak out of bed, and I would act out the Disney records all night with my stuffed animals and just stay up all night and act all of it out. I grew up in a not so healthy household.
Yeah.
So I had
and
to
you're
have
in
an,
arts? That's so
I know.
Weird.
I had to have an outlet somewhere. And then at 10, I declared to my family that I was going to be an actor. And my first play, I played a white rapper in a play called Video to Go in junior high.
Wow.
With Bilal Dardai.
Yeah.
And I never stopped. And then I did speech team in high school. Then I went to College DuPage. And then I went to Columbia College. And then I signed with Stuart Talent. And
You went for real.
Yeah, she went.
You
right.
like went all the way through.
So
yeah.
I had a similar I went to the theater school at DePaul. And then when I graduated, I remember having. I had, like, you know, multi-listed with agents, and I didn't know anything about anything.
I was clueless.
I was like, I don't know. And I got booked on a television show, and Early Edition and ER I was both on, and I remember chain smoking and thinking, like a lot of women feel, I think, I'm a fraud. Like, I don't know what... And what?
That happened today, the first day of rehearsal. I walked in, and in my head, I thought, they're going to say, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sarah and I talk about this often.
All the time.
Whenever I show up on fire, I'm like, oh, this is the day.
They realize that they made a horrible mistake.
And I, canceled. To the point where when I was on set, I remember being on set and being like,
fire.
When they would come over and the director or the whoever would tell me where to go and stuff, I'd be like... I'd be convinced they were walking over to be like, you know what, you've got to go.
Right.
And so I'd be like, oh,
we don't know
hi.
How you got
oh,
in
oh.
here.
And they're like, no, no, we just want you to walk over there, like calm down.
Right. And so you're like, oh, okay, you're speaking to me.
Yeah.
That's
and I'm not tired. And I think that that's no good.
No,
it's not. Just be cool.
And there are days where it's not there. There are days where...
So
it comes back.
Robin is on Chicago Fire. She's
super famous.
Yes, she is.
She is super famous.
Who do you
famous.
Play on Chicago Fire?
I play Cindy Herman. I am the wife of David Eigenberg, who you would know from Sex and the City. He played Steve.
Nice. He's Christopher Herman. We have 5 children, and I usually show up trying to lighten everyone up and give hugs and cookies.
I like Cindy,
right?
You guys, Cindy's pretty good. Cindy is a great. I want Cindy to be my mom, which is weird because I'm older than Cindy.
Right.
So that's a whole.
But Cindy is ageless. Cindy can be anyone's mom.
That's true.
Aww. She's a wonderful character. I love what she stands for. We have a super awesome, great, healthy relationship, which I really, really, really love.
Yeah, it's
that
really
we can
good.
Signify
yeah.
that on
sure.
the show.
Yeah, there's not the screaming and the pushing and the we're breaking up and then
we just really love each other.
You're solid.
Yeah. Yes.
Solid.
Yeah.
As a rock.
What other
that's what this love is. That's what we've got.
So what else is happening? What are people doing? Sarah, what's going on?
Your turn.
Corey, anyone?
God. No, you first.
I had the first day of school today. I had my first day of rehearsals for Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia
at the Paramount. Yes, I'm very excited.
Little tidbit, I was Tim Rader's assistant when I came back from Los Angeles.
I met him today.
I needed a job, and we're friends from old way back, and I was like, hi, I don't know what's happening. Can I be your assistant at Metropolis? And I was. He's a lovely human. So
if
you
great.
See him again...
He's going on vacation, so have fun on that.
Never
gonna
see him
So how did it go? So Mama,
it was great.
So when
I'm Rosie, so it was a lot of just going over the music and getting to know the other two women, which, I mean, I knew one of them from before, Amy Montgomery. He's playing Donna. She's amazing. But I met Jennifer, who's playing Tanya, and it was fun. It was a really fun day.
So when do you guys open?
September
I know that's scary
8th.
Since it's just... Okay, but that's coming soon.
That's soon.
I know,
that's
real it's fast. Fair. Well, it's you know, I mean, with Equity, when you're every day, I mean, you're there 10:30 to 6:30 every day. And
it's big,
fast.
Yeah, it's not a like we'll see you at 7 p.m. and we'll rehearse till 10.
Yeah,
not that thing.
No,
it's not that at all.
No,
here's your whole day.
There's gonna be like 150 disco balls. So
oh my gosh, wow.
And a rotating stage. So it's gonna be super cool.
So people, awesome. Get your tickets, Mamma Mia
Seriously.
At the Paramount. And that is in Aurora, and that is a relatively new theater.
This is their 6th season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. Last year I had a lot of fun. I got to do Empire about 4 times.
That's
which
right.
was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. She was Edna. I am Edna. She hasn't been killed off.
Let's not kill Edna.
Hi, Fox.
Edna's
hey, guys.
Fox,
Edna's amazing. You
don't
need
kill
more.
Edna on Empire.
Nope. That's right. Board Keep members
I want to see more Edna.
Yeah. Right. I think we all
Team
do.
Edna, you guys.
Yep. Team Edna.
Team Edna.
Tedna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which so was super fun. That was just an amazing experience.
I had Taranda on
Portia,
and she before it was a she, it really took off, and she's a lovely human being.
She's super funny.
Yeah. Oh, she was cracking me up in the studio. I was like having trouble keeping it together.
Yeah.
Also, I had to use the dump button a lot.
I'm sure
for the swearing, but. She was talking about it. She does not apologize, and I like that.
I'm actually really impressed with us that none of us have dropped the F-bomb.
I
cannot tell you how hard this is.
Oh, it's really great. Tough. I appreciate it because, and Sean, I'm sure, appreciates having the cursing going on. Can you hear us, Sean? Yeah, he can. He's just looking at me like, lady, you're crazy. But yeah, so because he would have to, yeah.
Right, yeah, it makes his job harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. So what about you, Corey? What are you working on?
Unlike these two ladies flanking me, I don't have a recurring role on a national television show at the moment. So if anyone would like to give me one, that would be so good.
Yeah.
I'll do a really good job for you.
You will.
I will. But no, I left my day job, corporate job thing in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And doing this full time. So I have a spreadsheet at home that I call the hustle sheet. So I'm doing
the hustle sheet.
Right.
I like it.
So I'm doing freelance acting. I'm doing freelance writing. Sarah and I have a web series that the first episode is just about to wrap up.
Corey and Sarah are famous.
And Sarah are famous.
It's true. So that is happening. It's a very meta little series about our life as actors and middle-aged actors trying to make it, because there's truth there. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everyone that we will have in it will be playing themselves. Because
awesome.
We know the funniest, best people on
yeah,
the
seriously,
planet.
In
I
the
mean,
city.
Seriously. And so that, we have a ridiculous YouTube series called Get in the Car as well.
Now tell me about that. I think I've seen... How many?
It's all Corey.
It's not. It's just real super dumb. I'm just holding a phone.
Oh.
Well, she just started one day, and she said, the topic is hummus, and then started recording, and she just would lay these things out there to see how I'd react, and then recorded them. And I didn't even know she was recording for like the first maybe minute.
Well, yeah, she was like, what is this for? I'm like, I really have no idea. And is, now
that's just you two?
Yep.
And it's going to stay just you two?
No.
Well,
when
we hit 250 subscribers on YouTube to our channel, Unsolicited Jews.
That's right. Yep. Unsolicited Jews.
Okay.
Then we will have a guest in the car. We've had several conversations with people about who it would be. Antoine McKay is
I know, right?
He's like, I want to be in that car. I want to be in that car. I'm like,
I
want to
be in that car.
Well, see?
Yeah.
You can be in the car.
You better get a bigger car.
Right.
We're all coming.
It's going to be getting the minivan.
We might not talk to them in the car.
Right.
They can just be in the car.
I just want to be in the car. I don't have to say anything. No. I just want to sit in the car. I'll wear my seatbelt.
Right. You'll do all.
Safety first.
Yeah, safety first. Every now and then maybe be like, that was my house.
I live there.
So you guys have those two things. What's your, is there a website for these?
Not as of yet. Right now we're on, you can find Unsolicited Jews on YouTube and follow us on Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. So you can follow us on the social media platforms, and then we will have a website coming soon.
And you have
soon.
A play coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to take another little break.
We'll be back with the ladies in just a little bit. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I am here. I am filling in for Nick. I am not Nick DiGilio, although he is one of my favorite. Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? People are like, wait a minute.
He sounds so weird.
It took them a long time to remember.
Have a terrible cold.
A terrible cold. So I am here, and I will be here until 5 a.m., and then other people will take over. The morning drive will take over. But right now, I'm in studio with three artists, women, fierce ladies. That's how I'll introduce them.
I enjoy that.
I like that a lot.
And we got Robin. And Corey and Sarah. They are Factory Theater Ensemble members, but they are also in their own right, without the Factory Theater, do millions and millions of things. I might be exaggerating a little bit.
Maybe, but not a lot.
But
not much.
So I want to play the game that I play sometimes with guests that I really like. That sounds terrible, because now every time when I don't play the game,
people are
going to
be like,
problem.
You don't like me.
No. Like it's when I feel like there's artists that I want to play this game. Okay. So the game is called If I Could Not Fail, which sounds like a children's book.
It does.
But
if
it
I
is
could not,
not
fail.
If I Could Not Fail.
I love when you do that voice.
Thank you.
That's a good voice.
It's the best.
So really we'll start. Is. We're actually going to start with Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. Robin Coffin.
Yes.
If you could do one thing and not fail, no matter what, and this is a secret, maybe a secret desire that you're going to share on a syndicated radio show or a almost national radio show. But if you could do one thing, no matter how hard you tried, and time and money and were no object, what would you do, Robin Coffin? And don't worry, we could play this game tomorrow, too, so there could be a different one. You know what I'm saying? But for right now, what is in your heart to say?
Well, I have always had a thing for photography.
Really? Mm.
I don't know that I would be very good at it, but...
Doesn't matter. No, you can't fail. You can't fail.
I wouldn't fail. It's always just been something that I've wanted to try. Because I think people are beautiful and shut, like just looking out this window, I'd love to take a shot of that.
Yeah.
I always just admire people that are photographers and see the windows of the soul.
See the windows of the soul.
Yeah.
So that would be one of the things you would do.
That'd be one of the things.
And would you like make a money off this, or just for your own, have the time to take your own
picture? My own gratification.
Yeah.
I would just love to just take pictures of people.
I did not know this about Robin Coffin.
I did not see that.
See, look at this. When we play this game, people who have known each other for a long time learn things about each other they never knew. So I'd like to say, good on me.
Okay. Well done, you.
Well
good
done,
on
me.
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, you're next. If you could do one thing, I have to preface it again because it's kind of the dramatic part is the lead up. If you could do one thing and not fail in time and money, no object,
right.
What would you do?
I mean, F it. I'm going to fly, you guys. Like, no, I mean, I don't mean like a plane. Like, I can actually personally fly.
I was thinking that, too. That's
I mean,
cool.
Because, I mean, if I can't fail, I mean, why am I using my legs
well,
like a
you
sucker?
You went that route.
It's the first thing I thought.
I'm just boring.
No. No, you're realistic. No. And I have a very lucid best grip on the reality of things. And therefore, I'm like, I'm going to fly.
No, but that's, yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Then what about, like, flying, just jumping out of a plane, then?
Meh. I dream.
Do you fly in your dreams?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that means?
I forgot.
Is it about sex?
No.
Then
no.
I don't care. Just okay. kidding. No, I want to know.
I want to know.
Okay,
no, I do
so
wanna
when
know.
You fly in yeah. your dreams, yeah. it is supposedly that you are reaching new levels of, like, spiritual enlightenment.
Then I should be like at
Buddha?
Nirvana.
Buddha.
I should.
Yeah,
I should be.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Literally, in my dreams, I have to hide it from other people because
See?
They'll be so mad.
You
when
are.
They find out that I can. Do
I'd
this.
Be pretty
you're
mad.
Enlightened,
right?
You're enlightened. You're. Looking, you could
have
be
a slight
guru.
Glow.
Well,
if you could
so
fly,
you
yeah, I'd be really mad,
right? And be like, oh, sorry.
Super jealous.
You weren't supposed to see that.
That is fantastic. Those are great dreams.
I enjoy
my
this.
My dreams, the closest I get to flying are boinging. So I do this thing in my dreams like the Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
So I'll boing. And
that's
I'm like,
pretty,
wow, I can boing. But I never
dope.
Quite... I
just
never
want to hear you say boing,
boing
a few more times.
Boinging.
I boinging. I'm boinging. No, but I never quite... launch.
Yeah.
So I come back down to the ground. So I'm liking this.
I've
dream.
Actually gone wait, into the stratosphere.
Now, do you fly like Superman or do you swim? Because there's a lot of people who say when they're flying in the air, they almost like push the air.
Sometimes
like
I do
swimming.
Have to swim
like
if I need
sky
to pick
soup?
Up speed.
Like,
yeah, like,
sky
yeah,
soup.
Like
it's sky soup.
That you
that
swim
is
in.
Fantastic.
Robin's looking around like what. Why wouldn't it be? You know you were thinking it too.
I mean, you're flying. You
so
might as well be
sky soup.
In sky soup,
right?
Why not?
Yeah. So I
say
well,
yes.
Well, that and I'm driving off cliffs. So
no, let's not. No,
right.
No.
Those are my dreams, though. So
oh,
I,
that's
so
just a dream. That's not
flight.
Like if you could not fail. Okay.
Oh God, no.
If I could not fail, I would just drive off the cliff.
Just fail, man, Louise. I'm going.
Let's not
I can't
do that.
Fail. It means the car can go and fly too. No, there's no.
Okay, so flying.
Yep.
You know what's coming, Sarah.
Yeah.
But let me do my intro.
Okay.
Sarah,
let me do it.
Yes,
Sarah.
Yes.
If you could do one thing. And not fail, no matter how hard you tried to fail at it, even. Time and money mean nothing. What would you do?
I would build my dream house.
Ah. What? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Please tell me it's not a tiny house.
No, it's not a tiny house.
Oh, those tiny house
because
people.
Because stop talking right now.
That's great.
You're putting that on me. It's not a tiny house,
I'm so
although
mad
they're
at you
quite
for this
cute.
Tiny house.
They
really
are cute.
Yeah.
And they always on Yahoo, it's like, you'll never believe when you open the door of this tiny house.
This 200 square foot bunk bed house.
You'll never believe that people
it's
actually
two
live in
burners
it.
And
no.
one shower.
So, Sarah, what is your house look like?
Oh, it's enormous.
Good.
And you can see water. I haven't decided what land it will be on to see what water in front of it. But there's land there and there's a pool because there has to be. And
like an infinity pool?
Or it
like,
could be.
Or like a regular pool. Or
well,
both.
And I mean, if I can't fail, then an infinity pool
yeah,
would
of course.
Be pretty awesome.
We're going big here.
Yeah.
And a Zen garden.
Yeah, there's a Zen garden and... a jacuzzi tub outside.
You could even have a tiny house within your house.
That would be
what?
For Robin.
What?
That
what?
Would be Robin's
Thank
house.
Thanks.
Robin.
I'd frown the whole time.
Get in there.
And lots of, I want to have a fireplace in my bedroom.
Oh, you know what?
Like,
I had, listen, when I was growing up in Evanston, I had a friend who had this huge Lincoln Street.
I live
Evanston.
On Lincoln Street.
Oh, my God.
Or my parents do.
Okay,
yeah,
so my
that.
Friend
no,
had a fireplace in her bedroom when we were growing up, and I was like, this is madness.
Right.
Like, it's so luxurious, I don't know what to do.
Know,
like,
like,
we were barely, we had, like,
time.
Plastic yeah. covers yeah. on our couch, and she's got, like, a luxury, it's special in the winter in Chicago
to
yeah. have a fireplace in your bedroom.
And I want a master bathroom that is as big as the bedroom that I currently have.
Nice.
In my condo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, that big. With yeah. a tub that's separate from a shower.
Clawfoot, right?
As long as it's really round and
would you have
awesome.
A bidet?
I might have a bidet. I mean, there's no money. Yeah, like we could talk about this for
or,
4 hours.
Yeah, right.
Or,
so
would you have one
is,
of those toilets with like
here's
all the
thing
buttons
that
and trip wires for the zombies?
About all of your dreams,
well,
right?
Yeah.
They actually
don't have to do with, like, we're multifaceted people. Like, just because we're actors and writers, we have other dreams too, people. You know, and I think sometimes in going to a conservatory, it was like, you will be an actor and that will be the end of any other interests that you have, unless it has to do with voice and speech, unless it has to do with movement. But I think it's good to, the reason I ask that question is like, one, when I ask it in groups, and usually the groups I have know each other from professional life, and they find out things about each other that they would never know. And two, it's just good to have, it lets the listeners know, like, you know, dreaming is good. Yeah. Whether you're dreaming of flying, or I think a lot of times, you know, I was talking with the last group that, like, there are so much going on. There's so much going on in this world that is so horrific and so people feel helpless and hopeless that it's still okay to dream, people. That's my big,
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, don't ever stop doing that.
Never stop dreaming.
By gum.
By gum. Sorry. So that's why I play. Thank you for indulging me.
Thank you you're welcome. For having us play.
Of course. Delightful. Of course. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do, I just really want to do, Sean's looking at me. Oh, we're out of time. Oh, we're out of time. I'm sorry. I could talk to you all night, but we're out of time. Oh. Sean's like, no, we have
no
more
time. Coming back.
Okay, never mind. But I'm going to have you guys on again.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
And now we know where to park.
Now you know where to park.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, let's not go there. I'm glad you found it.
We live.
We thought we were in Brigadoon.
You guys, keep your eye open for, and your ears open for these women. They're changing. How about this? They're changing the landscape of the theater.
Boom. Oh, Jen.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. And
that was delicious.
That was delicious. An amazing. Have an amazing rest of your day. And thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you
for
having us.
Thank you. You're
this
delightful.
Is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM, and I am very excited. I am joined by some amazing peeps that are working on an amazing project. I'm going to go down the line and ask people to introduce themselves. Let's start after you just took a drink of water. To my left is...
Hi, I'm Anthony Mosley.
Okay.
Danielle Littman.
My name is GQ.
Hi, I'm Diana Razalis.
Okay, I'm going to just really try to get Razalis. All right, so why don't you tell me first, we'll start with Anthony. Why don't you tell me what Collaboraction is?
We're a Chicago theater company. We're in our 21st season. We were founded by Kimberly Senior, a great Chicago director who's now left for New York and new stages, and we wish her the best. And, you know, we started as a typical Chicago tribal little storefront that could. I became the artistic director in January of 2000, and my whole thing was trying to expand the audience and create work that was of the now. And really, I found incredible transformative powers in theater that I hadn't really found anywhere else. And I wanted to open it to young, diverse audiences. So we had an amazing, we've had an amazing run. We're still running.
You're still running.
We're still running.
It has not stopped.
And we did a lot of great stuff. The Sketchbook Festival started in January. That was the first show I produced as artistic director. We just finished a 16-year run with 15 festivals where we produced 248 world premiere short plays of 7 minutes
I've seen
less.
A bunch of them. It's an amazing thing. You're not going to do it anymore?
This past January was the 15th and final one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it was so we had we've had an incredible run. We've produced, I don't know, 60 shows and blah, 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 and some real many special ones along the way. But, you know, about 4 years ago, we looked around and we saw that there were now nearly 500 theater companies in Chicago. And when we started, there were 100.
Wow.
We've gone through a cluster. We are the cluster of theater. I mean, we are the Napa Valley of theater here. And we don't even realize it because we're living in the middle of this incredible age of Chicago theater artists able to pay bills and make work as artists, which is just, you know, a dream. When I was like in the mid to late 90s, there was a rumor that went around that there was only 11 working theater actors in Chicago.
What?
And everybody could name them. It was like,
wow.
Mike Nussbaum. I mean, not because Gary Sinise, those guys
they
were making
left,
money
right?
on film,
yeah.
right? We're talking about stage act. There was like everybody knew the 11 of them. And now there are way too many to count.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are really blowing up from Chicago, you know, and they don't have to leave. Like Tracy Letts and, you know, we see Michael Shannon whenever he wants.
Yes.
And so we've gone through a golden age of theater, and I felt like personally I wanted the work to mean more to our audience and our community. Like just putting on a great show and escapism wasn't enough, especially because you can watch Netflix on your phone
right.
in the library or in an elevator. You know, the phone has really become a source for that stuff. So I think what theater can do more than that. We can really not just hold a mirror up to society, but we could take a hammer to it. We could let people see other people's lives, build empathy, which is a really important muscle that you have to develop and build. And so we really wanted to make work about the most important issues of our times, but we still want it to be collaboration, which to me just means that we're very much alive and forward leaning, and we like drama and comedy and fun, and so when we did some real soul searching, it became clear that violence in the city of Chicago and the 200 years of segregation that got us here is the biggest issue of our times in our front yard. And so, you know, I had like three or four different things that happened to me personally that as an artist and a Chicagoan allowed me to take my blinders off and build my own sense of empathy for my fellow Chicagoans who are suffering in poverty
yeah.
and lack of opportunity. And it just and I call it my second quarter life crisis. My first quarter life crisis was abandoning my finance degree from Notre Dame and becoming a theater artist in the first place.
Yeah.
And then this one, I said, okay, I really want to focus on the work that's most important to the people in the seats.
And when you took over as artistic director, did you know you wanted to head in this direction? Or does something like this evolve over time where you're like, the violence is getting worse, it's always been here? And does collaboration constantly change and reevaluate itself as you go on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, no, I mean, I never knew we wanted to go here. You know, back then I wanted to be, you know, the Thom Yorke of theater, you mm-hmm. know, without... You know, maybe more like the James Murphy LCD sound system of theater. But, but you know, I've always seen...
Done.
I've always seen collaboration as a living organism and as a piece of art itself. Not just in the art we make, but in the infrastructure and the way that we gather and meet and talk and recruit and build a family. It's a living... It's like, you know, I mean, it's silly, but it's, and it was at the opening games for Rio, but I don't know if you saw the opening ceremony, but I, you know, the little flower that grew into a tree in the crack in the sidewalk,
right.
because people decided to water it and then build a thing around it and protect it. And now it can't be walked on.
Right.
You know,
it's big and strong.
Yeah. But it's still its own living thing and it has to be tended to, and it may want to go this direction or that. And that's why sketchbooks were always a little different. They're always a thing. It wasn't a cookie cutter thing. It was like, no, this year we really want to explore our history together. Or this year, you know.
What I always feel, I've seen a bunch of shows and at Collaboration, and I feel like it's the Burning Man of theater. In that is a very welcoming, very inclusive, very wacky and wild, but in a very and very committed. There's nothing haphazard about it, but it still has this sort of sense of freedom that I love. I mean, that is the kind of theater that I love. So when I'm there, I'm like, this is like Burning Man except in a theater, you know. So I'm.
Well, you didn't see Connected, did you?
No.
Our show, our 20th anniversary show, was it went through the history of time from the Big Bang until 2159 through Temke. It was very Burning Man.
Oh, so Burning Man. Your daughter was the lead in it, and seeing the Burning Man himself watch his daughter in the Burning Man of Theater Company, well, was pretty.
That incredible. Sounds amazing. And I saw her. She came out when I saw This Is Not a Show About Cancer. She came out at the end, and she was stunning. And to watch different generations sort of be part of the Collaboration family, amazing and touching.
Well, that was her first show. And I'm pretty sure my wife, Sandra Delgado, was out of town or in a show.
She was.
And so, like, at some point, I gave her a couple bit roles.
And I think she was wearing pajamas.
That was her costume choice for the end of the show. So then in this show, and it was late. I mean, I had to get her.
Yes.
I had to carry her to sleep, you know, which is, like, to me, like, the sign of great fatherhood is if you can get your kid yes. from the car into the bed.
Without waking.
And then one day you find out that she's been faking it for the last 3 years.
And
she's...
And then you remember that
you used to fake it with your parents.
That's like a premise for a play right there.
It's like a fine line between good fatherhood and child abuse.
Yeah, so, you know. There you go.
She's a tough kid.
She seems like a very special little kid.
But you know, so you asked about like, did I always know? But you know, having a child is like, you know, really does change things, and it changed my perspective, and you know, it. You know, she became the leading girl of our life, and it makes you really think about the future and the children of Chicago. And you know, so the idea of creating provocative theater about the root causes of violence and using it as a healing mechanism, and because you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know. Tony Awards and TV shows.
It won't matter if we have no world to live in.
Yeah, and there's this sacred thing about sharing a piece of theater together that you can't.
It's a one of a kind experience, and you can't fake it. And when we come back, we're gonna take a break. I want to get into what Peace Book is, and I'm so excited that you guys are here, and I want to hear everybody.
And we'll hear everybody when we get back. I want to hear the stories of these lovely people in studio.
And we're back. This is Jen B. Good morning, everybody. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN, and I have amazing people from Collaboration and Collaboration's project, Peace Book, and we were talking with Anthony Mosley, who is the artistic director of Collaboration, and I want to get into what is Peace Book?
So Sketchbook was this festival of short plays, music, and visual art, and we had an amazing run, and we really learned how to cultivate community and artists, help launch some careers, and get people a platform. And for the past 4 years, we've been an active part of the Chicago peace movement with our show Crime Scene, a Chicago anthology, a docudrama about the root causes of violence, and our 4 subsequent tours. We did the show 104 times for 15,000 people with a town hall discussion after every show. And
that is amazing.
Yeah, it's been just a huge gift. You know, we had our original show, and then the Chicago Park District really took us under their wing and has made us a part of their amazing Nights Out in the Park program the last 3 years. And, you know, what a gift to be able to bring our mission right to the neighborhoods to take on this critical social issue with free shows, free food. And so this past year, as we decided to bring Sketchbook to an end, it just felt like the way to reincarnate all the great assets we had cultivated in regards to community building and artist career launching, to merge that with the work that we had done with Crime Scene and being part of this Chicago peace movement, to bring that gift to a broader community that needs it. So we took submissions mostly from Chicago, and we've cultivated 21 world premiere pieces of 7 minutes or less.
That is so cool. I remember seeing the audition, the call for submissions. I was like, this is not the usual call for submissions we got going on here. It was like dancers, actors, writers, poets. I was like, this is like a crazy camp for artists and actually making a difference.
We have 155 actors, half of which are coming from those communities, and they're working alongside great Chicago theater artists like the ones we have in the studio tonight. Will. Cheryl Lynn Bruce, Stephen Sapp of the Universes, Yuri Lane, Sir Taylor. I mean, so, and that's what we learned in Sketchbook, that by putting people on stage together and in the room together and in rehearsals together, they share on an exponential level, and there's a learning and a growth that happens. And that's the most exciting thing that we don't know yet.
Right.
Is the talent that we're bringing in from the neighborhoods that maybe just has never really been given the stage or
the voice.
Yeah.
So, GQ, how did you get involved in this piece book process?
Anthony had mentioned it to me a while ago before it was something public, and it just kind of sat in my brain for a while and in my spirit, and I just kind of like, I was just saying, dude, I think it's awesome that you're turning Sketchbook into Peace Book, and that's kind of where the conversation ended. And then when I saw the call for submissions, like, I had basically, I had a very tough time scheduling anything.
Right.
But when I saw this call for submissions, I looked at the dates, and even before I looked at the dates, I automatically had this feeling like,
it's going to work.
I am drawn. I have to do this. I have to do this.
So tell people who you are and what you do in your life.
You're
an artist.
I'm an
artist. Of many kinds. So tell us a little bit about your art.
I mean, I make music. I write plays. I've been in a slew of TV shows and movies. And, I grew up as an athlete who found the arts later in life and, never turned back. And so through writing, my brother and I go by the Q Brothers, and what we're known for mostly is rewriting Shakespeare plays and hip-hop musicals.
Which I have seen. What was it? The Bombidity?
Bombidity.
Bombidity of Errors.
Yeah, Shakespeare's
comedy. It changed me on how I saw Shakespeare. And this was like 2002 or 3 or 4. I don't know what it was, but in L.A. And I was like, these guys are special. And we brought them into the production company where I worked. We were trying to get our boss to make my boss was Nicolas Cage at the time, which people know on this station. But anyway.
I remember going into that meeting when we met again tonight 15 years later.
I know. It's interesting that something like Collaboration and Peace Book brings people together. I mean, like, that's how it is.
It's not a mistake, and it's a miracle. And actually, the miracle of me seeing when he put it out there and the little time that I had to even be online, the miracle to me was, like, I'm not religious, but I'm connected to oneness and the source.
Yeah.
And that's all I really, really put at the top of my list.
Yeah.
So that morning, like, my morning prayer, if you will, was to guide me and direct me to what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And then I saw that, and it was like, okay, I'm making a song. And I told my little brother immediately. I was like, hey, I know we got a lot going on. I have to submit to Peace Book. I have to. And he was like, dude, that's awesome.
So that's how you got involved. And you created...
I made a song. I just wrote a rap track called Shy City Love. And it's like a love letter to the city, but it acknowledges... It's a positive song that kind of is meant to bring people together and on every level, but it acknowledges some of
that we got troubles.
Some of the troubles that we go through every day. And I was kind of inundated with all the media and everything. I mean, like, I'm so sick of hearing, even in this presidential nomination, like, whole garbage.
Yeah.
Like, people calling out Chicago as murder capital. It's actually not true.
Right.
We don't have the highest murder rate.
Right.
We're the fifth city but somehow, because of all of the matters involving guns, they can tally it up so that
look
like, if you come to Chicago, I have friends in Germany who are like, should I come to Chicago or not? Because will I get shot?
Wow.
It's like, dude, like,
It's very, very sad that we've been pegged as that. Yes, we have problems, but I mean, we're good people with troubles.
Well,
we're not,
That and part of what I address in the song is, like, I'm talking to gangs. I'm saying, like, just put them things down.
Right.
Like, That's why we hang around. Put them things down and say what's on your mind instead, and put that thing down. Like that. Like just
like stop. Let's stop this.
Let's have a dialogue. Right. Like you don't really want to kill that person because their father killed your uncle. Like nobody needs to carry the past.
No,
we are all born with the right and the freedom and the joy of peace. And like that's an inherent right as a human being born into this world, and everything gets in the way of that.
Yeah.
And so like that bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
And so you know, I have probably a more chance of being shot on the north side where I live than down in Hamilton Park where I'm performing.
Right.
Because nobody wants to kill me down there.
Right.
They're killing each other.
Right.
And everybody's killing each other. It's a civil war in a city that represents the whole world right now. I mean, I have to consciously stop myself from watching anything. I turn it off. People are like, oh, another massacre happened.
Yeah.
I shut down everything because I don't even want to hear about it. And that's not the necessary. I could take a lot of heat for that reaction. Maybe I should want to be more interested in what that information is. But that information is not bringing me light.
Right.
And I want to focus on the light.
Yeah.
So
amazing. That's how you got involved. And that's
why I'm
special.
And that's the dream, right? To create a pathway for talented, amazingly spiritually gifted, soulful Chicago artists to get into the peace movement. Because once they get in, they're never
going
to get out.
They're not
once
going
you
out.
Learn on a flesh level, like what's happened in the city and how amazingly beautiful these people and these neighborhoods are. And you know, then we'll all, and that's, we just got to get more people.
Yeah. So that brings me to talking about neighborhoods, and that's going to be, there's two D's. There's D and Danielle. Cause we were talking earlier that Diana does not want to be called Diane. So I just call her D. So we got two D's here. So, why don't you tell me what brought you into this project and what project are you specifically doing? Anyone? We'll start with D.
Sure. So I was involved with Sketchbook 2014. I directed a piece by another wonderful Chicago playwright, Brooke Allen. But Danielle and I have worked together quite a lot. She's a very talented playwright that I admire a whole bunch. And she also works a lot in the community as a civic practitioner along with her arts practice. And so when I saw this call, I thought that this could be an incredible opportunity for us to bring those particular passions of ours together. And Uptown is a neighborhood I lived in for the first 3 years. I lived in Chicago, lived in, worked in, somewhere that I think is very special and that I've always felt has a tremendous amount of stories.
I mean, Uptown is a special place, and I worked there for 5 years as a drug and alcohol counselor. And we are going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to hear the stories that you collected in Uptown and why Uptown speaks to you guys. I know you said you lived there, but there's other things about Uptown that are really special that I want to talk about. And we will be back with the Peace Book Collaboration Action Crew here on WGN 720 AM. Hello, everybody. Good morning. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D here on WGN 720 AM. I am joined by a talented group of artists that are working on something called Peace Book, which is a project that Collaboration is doing. And we've heard from the artistic director, and we've heard from GQ, who wrote a rap and who is very passionate about bringing peace to the city of Chicago and sort of changing the way people, I think, look at Chicago who don't really know Chicago and are just talking about it from what they see on the news. So we're talking to Diana, and continue, please, about Uptown and how you created. What did you do to create this, your piece in this project?
Absolutely. So Danielle and I contacted a variety of folks we knew through other collaborations, other work, to ask if they were willing to sit down with us to talk specifically about how do all of the amazingly different kinds of people that live in Uptown, work in Uptown, coexist side by side. And what goes into that, and what if we go beyond that into what we think of as embrace or connection or crossing a boundary. And that became the seed for a lot of pretty amazing conversations. And it really surprised both Danielle and me about how much folks were willing to open up and to share with us things that they loved about the neighborhood, things that they wanted to see more of. There was this undercurrent absolutely throughout of everyone that lived there or worked there wanting the best for this neighborhood and feeling a real, real sense of ownership. And the more that we talked to folks, librarians, business owners, community members of all stripes, that this is a place that, despite how it's portrayed sometimes in the media, I think in Chicago, is doing a lot of things right.
Yeah. I had, you know, people were like, oh, be careful, because I would get out of work on, you know, at like 9 and 10. And I was like, I am not worried about these people knew me. I knew the neighborhood. I knew who lived where. I think that's part of our problem is that we don't know our neighbors and or we don't make the effort to get to know them. Mm-hmm. They may reach out and we might be like, oh, that's so-and-so. They've got a drug problem. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, so what? They're still a human being. And, you know, to reach out and really say, hey, what's going on? I'm Jen. And they knew. And they would say, hey, Miss Jen, you want me to walk you to your car? I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I'll be fine. But yeah, so I think that people are really special in Uptown, and I feel like they, it gets a bad rap just like on the north side, just like other neighborhoods do on other mm-hmm. sides of the city. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved, Danielle? You're a playwright.
I am, yes. So it's kind of funny because I love all of these sort of meetings and re-meetings that all of us are talking about. So I was a playwright in Sketchbooks Festival 2010. I was still in college at the time, and I submitted a play, and it, like, felt very far away. It was, like, Chicago theater.
Yeah.
And I was so excited when it got accepted, and it felt like it was this, like, big, fancy
It is a
Chicago
deal. It's a big movie. Deal.
It was so incredible to be a part of that festival.
Where were you in college when that happened?
At Northwestern. So I, like, got to come into the city.
Yeah.
And, like, go to rehearsal for my play, and, like, I put, you know, too much money in the meter. And I was like, oh, no, it's not going anymore. I'm like, oh, it's off at 9 o'clock. You know, it was like a really big, exciting experience to go to rehearsal for that play. And then kind of fast forward 6 years from that moment. Backstory caveat, I also work for the Chicago Park District in the Department of Culture, Arts, and Nature. So I've been engaging with crime scene and have been involved in the excitement around collaborations work over the past few years and have developed really intimate relationships with a lot of the parks that Peace Book is happening in. And so when Diana came to me and said, I think we should make a thing for this, I immediately was excited about it because Diana and I have worked together in a lot of different kinds of collaboration capacities, but something that really brings us together is when we were in college at Northwestern, we both did a civic engagement certificate program that was all about asset-based community development and looking at community organizing as a process of really harnessing all of those assets towards social change.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited about looking at how we could bring that lens to the devising process of creating a play and looking at how we could really try to represent a lot of different parts of a community.
I think that's the thing that I'm struck with here is that collaboration and this particular project is definitely about community, and it's about it seems like it's about welcoming community and not telling communities what they should be doing and celebrating. Like when you said the word asset, I'm like, that is it. Mm-hmm. It's what are the assets that we have in these different neighborhoods and how can we celebrate them and maybe learn, you know, because I don't know a lot about the West Side. And so maybe I can learn by showing up at these shows in these neighborhoods and see what goes on over here. Mm-hmm. Who are the people in the neighborhood?
It was, you know? It was such an amazing learning process just to get to sit down with a handful of people for a half an hour, an hour, and just listen. And we always came in with a set of questions, and we tried to ask really similar questions across the board to each of our interviewees. Mm-hmm. And then we had to create all these new questions because of the curiosity
right.
that struck.
So theater and devising, right? One question leads to a million other questions. Mm-hmm. And I think these are questions that we need to be asking, right? If we're going to try to change our city and then thus the world, we got to start asking the hard questions and also listening to the answers, right? So if we ask the question, that's one thing. But if you're not listening to what the people say in response, then you're not, to me, making art that is actually relevant. What you're doing is talking at people.
Yes.
And we don't need that, because in these neighborhoods where people are struggling, they're already being talked at all day. You're doing this wrong. You're terrible. You're no good. You're, instead of saying, yeah, instead of turning it around. I mean, I'm talking about this, I'm so excited for the project. I'm like, I can't, and I'm in one of the pieces. So there you go. I'm in.
What piece are you in?
This piece. Coexist.
Yep.
So I'm in this piece.
Yes.
So see, it all comes full circle.
It does.
I mean, I definitely feel like I have a, it's interesting. My mother passed away from cancer. Your father passed away from cancer. We just got off a farm. Danielle and I were on a farm together doing a residency. I met you in 2000 and whatever.
One.
And I'm in, she's directing me in a show at why can't I think of the name?
At the New Colony.
The New Colony. So it's all,
wow.
Everyone is connected in this,
yeah.
In this circle. So I guess I want to ask before we go, before I forget, how can people get tickets? Someone tell me. I have it right here so I can tell you.
Anthony,
you hit it.
The tickets are free.
There you go.
There's a free community meal at 6 o'clock, and the show is at 7. There's a peace fair with like 8 to 10 organizations telling people what they're doing in the community to make it more peaceful. We also, on Saturdays, have a panel with some real peace activists and professionals. And there's also an interactive workshop 15 minutes before curtain. And we have a yoga person doing meditation. We have a breakdance workshop.
Did you explain the fact that it's happening over 3 weeks?
Yes, let's talk about that.
So we start this Friday and Saturday, August 12th and 13th at the great, amazing Hamilton Park in Englewood, Friday and Saturday. And then we go to the west side to La Follette Park on Laramie, a beautiful facility. And then we go to the north side to Uptown. So we go from the south to the west to the north. We feed everybody an hour before the show. And thanks to our friends at Connie's Pizza.
So they're helping.
Connie's
Pizza is a big GN situation, too. Some Connie's Pizza.
Oh, they're hooking it up. They're hooking it up for the second year in a row.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
The north side one's at Clarendon?
Clarendon, right next
to. That's where we'll
be. Yeah.
Awesome.
Right, which is right next to the Clarendon Park is where the Chicago Theater Softball League plays.
See, I don't know anything about this. What's going on here?
It's been around like 20 years. It's not even theater. It's just ridiculous.
It is theater.
It is.
You know how many fake fights we get in every time?
Yeah, there
we
you
play
go.
Somebody.
It's a lot of posturing. And
that's my big secret goal is to get the Chicago Theater Softball players to come to Peacebook at the park that they play softball in,
right? That the games become more peaceful.
And they can see coexist and understand the neighborhood that they're visiting.
That is true. Here's my challenge is that every park in every city, there should be a collaboration tent where people can go and learn and learn about the city and like a guide, a theatrical guide to what is going on in each neighborhood.
I had an idea once where like you put a theater somewhere and maybe it's a tent and it moves and it's like 25 cents a play, right?
Right.
And they're short plays and you don't pay till you go, you give us a 10 and then you pay on the way out. And you're like, oh, I stayed for 14 plays. I got overserved.
Right, you're like, I got a deal.
I got too many ideas now.
Right.
I'm never going to be able to sleep.
I'm too happy. I'm too excited.
But,
that would be great.
But you can email boxoffice@collaboration.org or go to collaboration.org to see the full lineup because we have so much great, diverse talent.
It's very extensive.
Can I just say also to encourage people to go, not just the fact that it's free, but like anytime you have a chance to get outside of your comfort zone, that's the only time you really grow and connect with people other that are not like yourself in the city or that are seemingly not like yourself because the fact is we all are exactly like each other and we all are one and it is one city. And this is about unity. So we're not dumbing things down and telling, like, everybody, violence is bad and you should be peaceful. I mean, yes, we're saying that. But, like, if we said it in those words, people would turn the other way and run. It's like talking to a kid in a little kid's voice.
No.
They're just like, I don't believe you. So it's actually about take a chance. Like, get on the train, get on the bus, go down to Hamilton Park. Like, when I went there about a month ago for that pre-event with you, Anthony, I was definitely out of my comfort zone. I was going through streets that I forgot kind of existed.
Yeah, me too.
And to me, I was like, wow, shame me. Not that I felt ashamed really, but like I did feel like this is so, I've been guided to do this for a reason.
Part of it is you get there and you're like, wow, this is beautiful, safe, and friendly.
Yes.
What was I afraid of? And this all gets back to the media, because there's a lot of money to be made by turning this into a horror film.
A war zone.
You know, or a, you know, and the reality, and then when you talk about the news media, at the same time, you know, the loss of life in Chicago, you know, it is way more than any of these shootings. And we lost 70 people in July. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's happening. It's way too much.
Yeah.
And people need to take off the blinders, open up their hearts, find their way in.
Yeah. Well, you guys, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I applaud you all. I will be in one of the shows. You'll get to see me.
We'll get to applaud you.
We'll all applaud each other.
And then we'll dance.
And then we'll dance. And we'll do some yoga. And we'll be like at Burning Man. And we'll have a great time. So thank you, guys.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in here just for a little bit longer for Nick D. He will be back tomorrow morning. He had quite the event. He was at the horror convention, the Flashback convention, this past weekend. And, you know, if you know Nick D, that is his most favorite thing. He loves to do that. And then he had a special showing, I believe, of Bad News Bears last night at the Music Box. So Nick D and Dan S, Dan Chagru, will be back tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. and they will be with you from 2 to 5. So I've loved filling in here. It's been great. And someone just texted in and they wanted to know more information, just a little bit more about the groups that we had on and where they could get more information about. The first one was the Factory Theater. So someone was interested in knowing where the Factory Theater is and what is showing right now. So the Factory Theater is located at 1623 West Howard Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. And the right now, the show, they wanted to know which show is happening at the Factory because they were interested in going to see it. It's called Dating and Dragons, and it's very funny. For people listening, we had the Factory Theater three ensemble members in, and Nick DiGilio was a longtime member of the Factory Theater and has directed there, and at one point was the artistic director. So someone texted and said, "What is the show playing right now at the Factory Theater?" So that show is called Dating and Dragons, and it says, Jack loves to play games. He's really good at knowing the rules, especially when the game involves swords, sorcery, and a dragon or two. But when he meets Diane and falls under her spell, which rules should he follow? How do you win at dating? Join Jack and his friends on a journey through the rules of dating dragons and doing the right thing. So that is playing, and it is playing right now. And it's directed by Scott Oaken, who's been on Nick's show many times. It's written by Mike Oy, and it is happening right now. It runs through this coming Saturday, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3. Tickets are $25. And their website is thefactorytheater.com. And it's thefactorytheater with an E-R.com. So that's the Factory Theater. They're a great local theater. And tonight I really wanted to showcase, obviously, since I had two theater companies, both with different missions on, I wanted to sort of do a highlight of what is going on culturally in our city in terms of the theater arts. I think it's very important that we all get out there and see our local theater. And someone else, they were asking about the Collaboration info again on how to get tickets. So the Collaboration show is called Peace Book. I'm actually in one of the pieces, and it's 21 world premiere performances of theater, music, and dance. And you can go to, and it says right here, if you go to collaboration.org or call 312-266-9633, that's collaboration.org, 312-266-9633. And reservations are encouraged for this festival. It's free. It's totally free, but it's recommended that you reserve your seat. So there's three different neighborhoods that it's in. It's in Hamilton Park, which is the South Side Inglewood area. And that is happening August 12th and 13th. And that is 513 West 72nd Street, and there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. There's food, it's free. There's all kinds of you can learn how to break dance, you can learn how to do some yoga, and there's meals every time associated, with your ticket. August 19th and 20th, it's on the West Side, the Austin neighborhood, 1333 North Laramie. And then the show that I'm in, the little show, is in Uptown, Clarendon Park, August 26th and 27th, the North Side Uptown, 4501 North Clarendon Avenue. So get your tickets there. The other thing someone wanted to know, if I knew anything else going on in the city. It's funny. I think once you open the door to culture and to you open the door to really showing people what's going on, they're really interested. So people are texting in like, do you know of any other cool free or relatively inexpensive and affordable things to do this weekend? We have a caller. I think we have time for one last call. We'll take her. Hi, Marla.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Great. You are so good. I just want the world to know that you should have your own radio show.
Thank you, Marla. Thank you for listening.
Keep it up.
Oh, thank you, Marla. You are super early. What do you?
Oh, I thought that the show was so good I couldn't sleep.
That's the way. Did you hear my story about that's how I got hooked on WGN, Marla?
Exactly, which is now thanks to you, I'm hooked.
Now you're hooked. See, the thing about radio is it kind of sneaks up on you. I mean, sometimes people are like, oh, it's just in the background. But I find, at least with WGN, the programming is such that I do stay up. So good morning.
Well, especially when you can cuddle with your iPhone in bed.
Yeah, it's technology, Marla. Technology
is
happening.
I want to hear your own show someday.
Okay, Marla, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good day. That was Marla, a fan. Marla fan. So I want to get to this texter's person just really quickly about she wanted to know the most fun free thing that is happening. So the Chicago's only ghostly dinner event at the Red Lion Pub is offering one night of free ghostly tours. So it's a delicious two-course meal plus a glass of wine, beer, or other spirit, and then you hear ghost stories, and that is free at the Red Lion Pub, and 312-371-6565. So I just wanted to let people know that is what is going on. So Nick DiGilio will be back tomorrow. Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
It's been lovely to work with you two days in a row.
I agree.
Do we don't have the morning bell.
You know, that sounded kind of like, yeah. I agreed that it was nice to work with me.
Oh, you were saying like you didn't want to be seen
nice
as an
to work with you.
It was nice to work with you, and I, you know, I hope maybe you could play. Maybe you could tell your daughter, your aspiring theatrical star/singing star daughter about that there are over 500 theater.
Still sounds amazing.
I mean, 500 theater companies in the city of Chicago alone. And they were saying not even in the suburbs, like in the city proper, there's 500. And so she's about to start. You said she's starting freshman year.
Yeah.
And what is the first class of her day?
Her first class is intro to theater every day.
That is a pretty amazing thing. From someone who, you know, I had to go to like advisory first thing in the morning, and then I had to go to gym class. I didn't.
The worst class to have.
What?
In the morning. Gym.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible. It was not a good thing. But your daughter, I mean, hopefully you can tell her what we were talking about tonight, that there's like so many opportunities for young people to get involved with the arts in the city. And a lot of them are like very, very affordable. And a lot of them are really accessible to everybody.
In your opinion, is the theatrical community here in Chicago, is it growing at a rate to where in the future it might rival
New York? Yes.
Or Los Angeles?
Yes. So right now in this city, there are 5 television shows being filmed here.
Right.
So we know Empire, because they were talking, when we were talking to the Factory Ladies, one of them has a reoccurring role on Empire. So that's being filmed. There's the Chicago Fire, which the other, Cindy Herman was on our show. Robin plays Cindy Herman. And then we have, who else do we have? We have all the Chicago Med, Chicago and Chicago Law is coming. And then we also, there's a, the Exorcist television show is coming. So we are starting to rival Los Angeles in terms of, in terms of television and film, not quite as much as LA in terms of film and TV, but close. And then in terms of New York, so in New York, you have all this Broadway, right? Which are these shows that cost a lot of money. And people like me, regular people, can't really go and see them unless you save up. Like these Hamilton tickets are like $2,500 for a seat. So in Chicago, what's good about us is it's affordable. I mean, you know, we have affordable stuff. So I really feel like, you know, tonight was sort of my love letter and allowing the Chicago theater scene to get their voice heard and to get their message out there of what they're doing.
You know? Good to know.
Yeah, that is good to know. So it's been.
I'll get out there.
You think you're gonna get out there and start? Are you gonna start acting, or are you just gonna start?
No, I'm just gonna enjoy theater. That's all.
You're gonna just.
No, that bug missed me.
The bug. Okay, your daughter. Your daughter is gonna carry on the legacy. Well, it's been great to be here, and Nick D will be back tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. And it is now just about 5 o'clock. And this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN.